Welcome back. Episode 35 of Grapes and Gorak Show. I'm Grapes.
I'm Gorak.
This episode of Grapes and Gorak is brought to you by Weedman Lawn Care.
Our first sponsor. This is big. We're big time now.
This is huge. This is huge. And Weedman Lawn Care specializes in fertilization, broadleaf weed control, crabgrass control, aeration, insect control, and grub control. They do not mow lawns, do any landscaping or tree trimming. So do not call them for that. But the Weedman Lawn Care number is 651-796-2346. So if you have any interest in getting your lawn groomed and controlled, looking fresh and lush for the summer, give them a call and they'll be right out.
Tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you.
And make sure you tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you.
Or just tell them that Gorak sent you, you know?
Well, you know.
Although Grapes read.
I'm the one who told you to go there.
That's true. That's true.
I'm Grapes.
They reached out to me, though, you know.
This is fact. It's because your email is the one locked in and
everything. The iTunes, probably. I don't know. So yeah.
Yeah, join Weedman. Not the kind you're thinking of, though.
Ryan was so excited when he heard about Weedman that contacted us.
But I should probably mention that they are kid and pet safe lawn care company.
That's solid.
That's huge because a lot of companies, you know, they go out, they spray your yard, they tell you not to go out there for 24 hours until everything settles in.
Yeah.
But this is kid and pet safe, so they can come in when you get home, you let your dog out, let your kids go play. It'll be great. Again, tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you, and 651-796-2346.
Beautiful. Your first ad read, I think it went smooth.
I think it went great.
I'm so proud of you.
But this episode, we're going to do a little update on our
top 20 draft boards. Let's start with, it's been a couple weeks since we had our last podcast. It was the... you know, the Travis Ernie special, draft expert.
Went great.
The guru, you know, brought him in,
guru.
Hot takes. But since then, well, Viking news, I think a couple days afterwards, Josh Klein signed.
Yep.
So we haven't talked about that.
We got another guard.
I think that's so we know when we started the offseason, we talked about our to-do list, our Grapes and Gorak, what needs, like our little checklist. Josh Klein doesn't check a box because I think we needed, what did we say?
Two.
At least two new offensive linemen, but he's one of the two.
I think he's
clearly a starter. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say he's like some top-end starter, but he's an upgrade from last year, and he's in pen as a starter. I don't think he's losing his job.
It's kind of like the year we got Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone was a little more
Alex Boone. Aaron Boone, hell of a ball player.
Terrible manager, though. but Alex Boone, Klein isn't as high profile as Boone was.
Agreed.
But it's just one of those
similar
things.
Player, mid-tier guy, definitely a starter, but not anything amazing.
He's not going to go to the Pro Bowl, but we didn't pay him to be a Pro Bowler.
We paid him to
be a solid offensive lineman.
Which is what I think we at least wanted this offseason, was to get two solid linemen, and that's one of them.
Yep.
So we also brought back Brett Jones.
Depth piece,
I think, could compete for a starting job. I don't think that... is a box checking signing. I think that's a depth signing.
No, I saw on Twitter after we signed him, I think it was Nick Olson. He showed like just a couple of highlights.
Yep.
And as much as like, I don't know, he kind of like talked about him about being great reps. He was playing center.
Yep. Well, because that was it Vikings or Giants highlights?
Giants highlights. Okay. So he was playing center. And yeah, sure, he kind of held his own. But like, the way he worded it was almost like bringing him up to be like a sure thing starter. It's like, got pushed back like 3 yards. That's not great for pass blocking.
He couldn't crack the starting lineup last year when we had Compton and
he barely
Remmers.
Even played, even and though Remmers and Compton were bad.
Awful. And then Elfline was not playing well either, and they just kept Elfline out there the whole time. So, he can play center, he can play guard. He wasn't a complete embarrassment when Elfline was out for the first few weeks. So, I like it. When we did our last podcast, we only had Danny Isadora. Now we have even one more guy we have to talk about still, but we have Brett Jones, Josh Klein. Even if you had to start today, say the draft falls where like linemen just don't really work out and you don't get one till later, you could still feel the line of Reef, Brett Jones, Elfline, Klein, O'Neal, and then even Dakota Dozier, the guy we just picked up, could compete too for another guard spot.
And... After seeing what happened last year, I'm feeling a lot more comfortable about that lineup than I am Compton Remmers.
I just feel like there's a better plan this year. It seemed like we didn't really, I don't think we really realized it or called it up, but like it just seemed like we grabbed DeFilippo and I don't know, this feels very much like we got Kubiak, we got Dennison. Okay, let's go get athletic zone type linemen. Josh Klein I was listening to a podcast, I think from someone was breaking down Josh Klein on YouTube from a Titans perspective last year. Apparently had ridiculous numbers at the combine, super athletic. We know Brett Jones at least, can fit that zone scheme. And then Dozier comes from Rick Dennison, where he was last year with the Jets. So, I don't know, it just seems like if you get some guys that you can fit into a scheme, that maybe they don't need to be top-end guys.
See, and I wonder if kind of last year, since DeFilippo, I know it was his second kind of stint being an offensive coordinator, maybe he didn't know offensive line as well as he kind of thought. So they were just kind of going, okay, Remmers, we want to pass a lot. Remmers is a good kind of pass blocker at right tackle. Let's move him to guard. Compton's, a good pass blocking guard. Let's sign him and kind of move him there. And just kind of hoping that it would work. Whereas now, like you said, there's kind of like structure to it. There's a plan.
Yeah, it seems just a lot more of a plan. And I mean, to be fair to DeFilippo, he kind of didn't really get great pieces to work with because we ended up taking Hughes. And then in the second round, we didn't take a guard. We took a tackle. So it's like, okay, you drafted a backup to Rashad Hill, who hopefully one day is the starter, but now I'm stuck starting Tom Compton, who I don't really think anyone thought when we signed, besides you, as Ryan raises his hand, I thought Tom Compton was literally just signed because he was Kirk Cousins' friend and was going to be like the 53rd man on the roster as like a depth guy.
Legit thought he would be like a competent player. Probably, I didn't really feel like he would be starter. I thought he like could start in a pinch. Yeah. Where I was thinking more like 6th, 7th offensive lineman.
He turned out to be a starter.
And like you said, he was more or less 53rd man on the roster type player.
Well, yeah, if you actually drafted a guy, he probably would have been cut because he was terrible. And then I think Remmers also...
He was put in a bad spot.
But he also played like shit. Yes, was he out of position and stuff, but I think... they probably thought, okay, hopefully he can play this spot decently and we'll be fine. And he didn't at all.
Even below average would have been better than what Mike Remmers was.
And then, again, it sounds like we're kind of making excuses, but like Elflein was coming off an injury. He wasn't even fully healthy to start the season. He came in later. So in DeFilippo's defense, probably the least amount of resources given to that was the offensive line, You got Zimmer with like first round picks in every position, all these great players. Receivers, you got good ones. You got a good, the offensive line was probably the weakest unit. So I think they're doing a better job so far this year. Obviously, people wanted to get guys like, Roger Saffold and Mitch Morse, but it just, the contracts were crazy. We couldn't
play. It was outrageous. I mean, if you sign one of those guys, you're not getting bar back. Some people obviously probably would prefer that. But at the same time, I don't know. I'm more comfortable paying a 26-year-old bar $13.5 million rather than I am a 30-year-old guard $10 million.
Yeah, it's not like there was some surefire Steve Hutchinson out there that's like, okay, monster for the next 8 years.
And remember the contract we gave Hutchinson? Well, that was only 13 years ago, 7 for $49 million.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. God,
it was like poison pill.
Yep. And it was like, oh, they gave a guard $7 million. Now we're giving people... $17 million, like that. It's just weird how much the salary cap has increased. Yeah, does the salary cap increase due to revenue?
Yeah, it's actually because I think this year was lower than they actually expected.
Yes,
projected.
It was.
Yeah,
so like $6-7 million. So the Vikings
all of a sudden we had less money, but it's like every team has less money. So I don't know how that really like. It just feels like maybe it just suppresses all the contracts.
No. I don't think it suppressed any. I think people were still paid what they were. And so it did affect the Vikings.
Yeah, and partly that is because there are teams like, the Colts and the Raiders and all these teams that had like $80+ million.
But the Colts didn't spend,
But you could still use them as leverage as an agent. Like, well, hey, the Colts are, look at all the money they got. I mean, with all the money that was out there, yeah, you're right. Like the $6 million lower cap, it affected the teams that were up against the cap.
Yeah.
Not the,
Yeah, not the Colts.
And not the players, they all got their money. Does Brian Dozier play for the Royals?
Or is that a different Dozier? No, that's Hunter Dozier. Okay. Brian Dozier plays for the Nationals.
Oh, okay. No, interesting. No. So just to recap the offensive line, I think this year it's very much a quantity. Find a bunch of guys and let them compete. Because it...
I mean, but it's not like we're giving up quality, though, either.
It's just not, like, top-tier quality. Yeah, we're getting, mid-tier, but let's get three or four or five of them. So, you know, when we jump into our draft board, I could see us adding, you know, a lot of people want one in the first round, but if you didn't, say you got a guy in the third and the fifth. I don't even think we have a fifth, but whatever. You know,
yeah, the first pick in the
sixth. Second and the fourth or something.
And we maneuver a lot.
Yeah, we go over the board. You know, a couple mid-round guys, you throw them in there and...
I'm more comfortable with that now after seeing, you know, we waited on an offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got some really good deals, you know, with Dozier and Brett Jones and
Josh Klein. They're basically all I think Jones and Dozier are just barely above minimum, veteran minimum. And Klein got not a decent deal, but he got
$4 million, $5 million.
Yeah, it's starter money, but it wasn't who's the clown that the Packers signed?
We wanted the dude from Denver.
Billy Turner. Yep. It's like Klein and Billy Turner, you could have told me. Like, Klein actually works better because he's a guard. So,
Yeah, if you would have told me, do you want Klein for 3 for $15 or do you want Billy Turner 4 for $28?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. Yeah. And Turner, again, it would have been a depth thing because we don't.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Klein got cut. Right?
Klein got cut. Yeah,
why we never had talked about Josh Klein.
And it again, I know I always talk about compensatory picks, but doesn't affect our compensatory picks. Right now, we still have the maximum 4 picks because we've only signed. Who the actual UFA is?
Shamar Stephen.
And then there's one other guy we just signed, Dakota Dozier. Yep, and he signed for so low that it doesn't even matter because we've lost Sherrills and Tom Compton and
Sandejo. We had 3 picks rolled over.
We have too many. You can just keep signing. But speaking of free agency, before we kind of jump into our boards, what's the deal with Ndamukong Suh for nothing? And then the tight end market.
What did Suh sign somewhere finally?
No, that's how it feels. What's going on? No talk at all about him. I don't know if there's any other big name ones. But then the tight end market's confused me. I know these aren't great players, but nothing on Max Williams, nothing on Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Speaking of Max Williams, my company, Diversified Plumbing and Heating, was actually just at Max's house earlier this week.
Well, if you got any scoops, I saw Max Williams at Lifetime too in Chaska.
Oh, man. See, we are full of Max Williams rumors right here. Yeah, I don't know what the rumors are. No, should we start rumors? Did Max say anything to you at Lifetime? Well,
no,
you know, potentially
he wouldn't talk anywhere? To me. You know, refused. No, he kind of kept to himself.
Well, you know, but Max talked to one of our guys, and he says that Grapes is a smart man.
He says he's a day away from signing a big contract with the Vikings.
Yeah,
it's funny. I'm standing.
Max Williams lives at my ex girlfriend's grandma's house now.
This is big. He was standing there, and I'm like, that guy looks like Max Williams. God, jeez. I'm like, you know, he is from here. Maybe this is him. And then he walks past me. He's got this big purple sweatshirt. On. And
both I'm like, a Ravens sweatshirt, huh?
It says NFL on the side. I'm like, if that's a Ravens sweatshirt, that's Max Williams. And he turns around and it's a Ravens sweatshirt. And it even said Charmed City or something on it. I don't know what it was. But it was definitely a team issued sweatshirt. And I was like, okay, that's Max Williams. And then a few people walked up to him and clearly knew him. There's someone was talking about him from his Gopher days and stuff like that.
So. Right on.
But yeah, I don't know. Just it's weird that because I like say we go to the draft. And tight end just doesn't really fall into our lap anywhere. I would totally sign Austin Seferian Jenkins or Max Williams.
Yeah, I don't even have a preference between the two.
Oh, I don't either. I actually might prefer ASJ.
I was just going to say that.
Because Max really hasn't shown anything.
You know, Seferian Jenkins' best year was with the Jets, but at the same time, it was a lot of just 9-yard plays. Mm-hmm. So
he's definitely shown the flashes that he could be something. Obviously, he probably won't ever because it's been so long now, but early days of Tampa Bay, it was like, whoa, look at this guy. Yep. And then he had all this
second
problems.
Round pick from Washington, right?
Yeah. Off-field issues, and then he went to the Jets and kind of rehabbed his image a little bit, you know, showed he was actually something that you could be useful. And then he went to the Jags last year and did okay, but also the Jags were a mess. And now he's gone, and now no one wants him, I guess. I don't know. So,
but I feel like he's a guy, you know, I mean, especially for the Vikings, where you've got Diggs, you got Thielen, you got Rudolph. He's one of those guys, you know, second tight end on the field. He could be lost in some space.
Yeah.
And he's very athletic. Like, the dude can move. So, you know, he can make a big play.
Well, that's and that's the thing that I think if it's probably a thing where you wait till after the draft. Like, maybe we just find a guy that from the third to the sixth, someone, there's a bunch of tight ends that we like. And then it's like, okay, we don't need him. But it's one of those where it's, oh, we didn't get a tight end. Let's just scoop him up for slightly above minimum. Yeah. Because clearly he's not demanding much.
Speaking of, like, draftable tight ends, what's the deal with Caleb Wilson? Because I kind of really like him as an athletic tight end. Why does he seem to, like...
Here's the thing. Draft Network doesn't like him. That's just what it is. When you do a Draft Network mock,
it's who
you
could
get him
like
in the seventh round. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But, like, Pro Football Focus, they just did a three-down mock, and he went in the third. I just saw someone, you know, scrolling on the bottom of the screen. He's still, like, you know...
It just seems
like Draft Network's down on him, which, obviously, kind of we use them a lot because they have a great mock draft simulator. They've got great scouting reports stuff. So, he's one of their guys. Like, I also saw they did their wide receiver board. Marquise Brown was like 14th.
Was he that low?
Yeah,
because they still like their...
they still put him high because it's, you know, that predictive board.
Yeah,
so they still think other team people take him. And someone did
ask, I guess, if you go to the player rankings board, he's lower.
But someone asked them like, hey, that's pretty low, and they just said, you know, we're actually not that low on him. This is just a really good receiver class, not for like number one receivers, but like that second or third round range. It is pretty stacked.
Yeah, there are good players. And see, a lot of people are gonna pick on, like, I feel like they're gonna pick on like the Nikhil Harry and the Hakeem Butler if they go in the first. Like, oh, you know, he's not a number one wide receiver. Yeah, but they're not really number one types. They're just kind of like NFL ready.
Yeah, and they're kind of like Hakeem Butler. Is he going to be a true number one? Probably not, but he's like, he has like a very defined role. It's like, dude, this guy's 6 foot like five and can run. I get why if he ends up in the first round. Like, it's not that crazy. Nikhil Harry, I think both those guys do a little bit have potential to be number ones, but you're probably not drafting number one. So that's probably what people are like, oh, what's going on? What are you doing? But, and then there's a bunch of second, third round guys that are like, you know, guys we like, Paris Campbell, Emmanuel Hall.
And like Arcega Whiteside just had a really good pro day.
He ran 4.45, like right in between there. So.
I think it was like 4.8. I thought it was like 4.8. 4.48.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So between 4.4 and 4.5.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, a couple other things of Viking news before we jump into our boards. We signed two DBs from the AAF.
Why did we snag AAF players?
Because... I don't know, I heard the lead like maybe closed down already, shut down.
Yeah, and just sort of is a complete mess.
Their players out to dry.
That is terrible. Like you read all this stuff about AAF players, you know, getting stuck with the hotel bills, getting stuck finding their own rides home. It's a mess. Like,
what's funny is it clearly was like, because they couldn't get the NFL to like actually let them use their players as like a developmental league, but like it kind of actually
worked
because we immediately signed two of them. Like, there's probably almost 10 now already signed.
Yep. And that's what somebody I read on Twitter this morning. They're like, the AAF, like, it may have collapsed, but the AAF was working.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, like, all the top talents in that league are going, like, pretty quick.
I think
it collapsed on Tuesday, and like you said, 10 guys already signed.
At least, yeah. It might even be more than that by now. I think we're actually trying out that kicker, what's the Asian kicker?
Young Ho Koo?
Yeah, he came in. Because we've actually been looking at quite a few kickers, even though we re-signed Dan Bailey. Like,
but Bailey was so, like, what was it,
a cheap deal. Maybe, like, and I think there's barely any guarantee. It could be definitely a Kai Forbath situation. Like, I think we had a kicker in for a visit to a draft-eligible kicker. So
wasn't it the dude from LSU?
Yeah, I think he's, like, really the only kicker that might get drafted. Maybe there's more. But anyways, the two guys we signed, Duke Thomas, safety. Two-year deal.
Oh.
Chris Thomason, the Pioneer Press guy,
yep,
said that we really like him, and that's why we gave him a two-year deal. Now, obviously, there's barely any guarantee, so you could cut him. But two-year deal. And then the other guy was a corner, Darren Smith. Both rated really well in the Pro Football Focus rankings, at least. So.
Okay.
Because they graded all those games, too.
Which,
fucking weirdos.
Yeah. They just... eat, sleep, and breathe football.
I guess it's pro football. It's not NFL football focus.
Yeah,
that's
true.
You know,
it's
pro
football. Which is weird that they do college games because they're not paid athletes.
What are they doing? They should be a separate website. Those guys are crazy. Okay, last thing. Holton Hill suspended 4 games. PEDs, which is surprising. I figured it was weed, but no.
No.
PEDs. Got other things. So,
and I'm sure he got tested because his initials showed up in the Rock Thomas report.
Yeah. So then all of a sudden,
We're just going to test it. And it's like, oh, PEDs, huh? Not what we were thinking.
Yeah. Oh, what's going on here?
Which is weird because he probably gets 8 games for weed.
Probably because he's probably already in like the substance program or whatever. Someone on Twitter was like, cut him. It's like, why would you cut him? You have nothing, what is the benefit of cutting him? Just so other teams can pick him up? Yeah. Or are you just trying to be like, we run a clean crew here?
I think that's what it is. He didn't get arrested.
Why don't we cut Kentrell Brothers then too? But, you know, he didn't get arrested.
People, like, all of a sudden, because he was talking about, like, Holden Hill, like, you should only get one shot. You know, you knew what you were getting when you got. It's like, again, he it wasn't drugs.
Yeah.
It was, you know, performance enhancing drugs, but it, you know, wasn't an intoxicating drug. He didn't beat
hurt anybody.
You know, like,
what is the upside of cutting?
There is no upside of cutting Holden Hill. What are you going to do? Send a message to the team? Yeah, a lot of them are going to be like, all right, the dude made a mistake. Let's not cut him because he's going to miss the first 4 games.
Yeah, come on. That's ridiculous. And actually, I think it's, in a weird way, there's some positives because if everyone's healthy, he wasn't going to play in the first 4 games.
Yep.
He won't even see the field in the first 4
games.
Like
you said, healthy. If everyone's healthy and we don't trade Waynes,
he's the fifth corner.
Yep.
You're not getting on the field, maybe 2-3 snaps, special teams, whatever. So by being suspended, he no longer counts against your 53-man roster. We get to keep one extra player. Yep. By the time his 4 games is up, someone's probably hurt and on IR, and now we get to keep, like, it's sort of like the Kentrell Brothers
thing. It's a blessing in disguise kind of deal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's positives, there's negatives. Like, you know, if someone's hurt, then it's going to hurt us.
Yeah, but, like, you know, you look at it this way. You can now maybe keep a 9th offensive lineman and figure that shuffle out in the first 4 games and going, all right, and if somebody's not hurt or you like all the guys, you know, or you don't like someone, you can move on from that player.
Exactly. I mean, it gives you 4 weeks to have that extra lineman or extra player. And in that time, there's probably someone going to get hurt. Someone clearly isn't up to, like, you know, level, and you just cut that guy.
So, and you know that it kind of like fits kind of like a Patriot thing where, you know, they always seem to have somebody out the first couple weeks, whether it's
Julian being Edelman. Hurt.
Yeah. You know,
suspended for
Tom Brady.
Brady. Oh, yeah.
So, like, it gives them, like, Belichick's always a guy who says that the league's not won in September, it's won in December.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Or so, like, the first 4 weeks, you're still figuring out what your team is.
It's not good news, but it's
not the end of the world.
It's not that big of a deal. Calm down, people. It's not going to change our draft board. It's not going to change. You know, you don't need to cut them. Yeah. It is a thing where, you know, I always talk about how when you draft someone that has character problems, and then, like, you know, midway through the season, everyone's like, "Well, perfect. Yeah, he's a great citizen. He's such a good guy." It's like, give him a couple years, and, you know, some guys don't, but, like, it's like the Tyreek Hill thing. It's like, you know, Chiefs fans are like, oh, yeah, he turned his life around. It's like, okay, it's been like a year and a half. Like, let's calm down, and now he's already, you know, breaking his kids' arms and whatnot. So
he allegedly. Oh, yes,
the Ryan's always there to
throw allegedly.
I read it on you know, the internet. It's got to be all true.
No, it's allegedly. Yeah, it's right. Funny that, you know, before we were always told, don't believe what you read on the internet and don't get into cars with strangers. Now we get all of our news from the internet, and we have Lyft.
Hey, I see the guys' ratings on Lyft. They're good people.
Well, what? You don't check the people's license plate before you get in?
Just get into a random car, tell them to drive. All right.
I get out of cars and open random cars' passenger doors.
Yeah, just walk away. They have to get out of their vehicle and shut. Okay. Should we jump into our top 20 boards?
Yeah.
We're ready, right?
Yeah. I mean, we got... Yeah.
We're 24 minutes in.
Yeah, because we're going to do boards and maybe... Depending,
we got some time.
I think we'll fly through here and we'll...
Yeah, because we've talked about a lot of these guys. Just want to, you know, kind of people that have moved up, moved down. We'll run through that. And then I think we're going to try to hit a 7-round Vikings mock.
A quick one, hopefully, yep.
You know, run through.
Yep. Well, why don't we pause this real quick. Okay. Get a tinkle and we'll have a good time. And this updated 20-man big board, top 20 big board is brought to you by Weedman Lawn Care Service. You know, for all your Weedman lawn care needs, they specialize in fertilization, broadleaf weed control, crabgrass control, aeration, insect control, and grub control. Do not call them to mow your lawn or do any sort of
landscaping.
Landscaping, please.
Give them the number, Ryan. Tell them where they can call.
They can call the number at 651-796-2346, and you can visit them online at weedmanusa.com.
Tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you.
Tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you.
All right, 20-man boards. I think we did this, it got to be over a month ago, before free agency.
Yeah, I think it was the end of February.
Because I was like Devin Bush, Devin White. Now I don't know where to put those guys. It makes it complicated. Yeah. But let's talk about your number one guy currently on your top 20. Vikings big board.
I'm so still going.
Vikings specific.
Yep, Vikings are at 18.
Yeah.
This is who's on the board. You know, like kind of if this player's there,
yeah,
this is the way we're going.
Kind of like if we had the first pick in the draft. Who would you take?
Yep. I'm taking Kyler Murray still.
Yeah, and I think that's what you had to start. I had Quinnen Williams, I think. I have moved with you, Kyler Murray. And that it kind of goes to show that the Cardinals really should take Kyler Murray because Kirk Cousins is better than Josh Rosen. And we're even like, I like you, Kirk, but I want the shiny thing over here that I think could be like, it's like going from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. Now, other people don't think Kyler Murray is going to be that good. Like Travis, I don't think he does, but...
Nope.
We think he's going to be
awesome. I feel like all the knocks on him are just his size. Again, I know he's not 6'4", but if he's 6'4", the Cardinals have traded Josh Rosen already.
It really is the only negative on him is his size.
His offensive line at Oklahoma, the shortest guy was 6'3". I think it was Ben Powers.
Yeah, the way he can move, it's like you just roll him out. I think that is kind of like an old... Yeah, if you're doing pocket passing, like
Cliff Kingsbury, he runs a spread system. I don't think he had Patty Mahomes at Texas Tech. Pat Mahomes never played under center.
Yeah,
and I know a lot of people are always like, oh, you know, he doesn't play under center. He's not going to. And if he does, he's going to turn around and hand the ball off.
Yeah, I just think that Baker Mayfield, I think, is probably slightly better if the two draft classes were combined. But he's like right behind him. It's like, I'm not going to keep Josh Rosen. I'm not going to keep Kirk Cousins if I have a chance. I mean, I'll keep Kirk Cousins, and I'll just sit Murray for a year, and then we'll figure it out. Maybe Cousins will demand a trade or, you know, whatever it is. But I'm getting Murray number one. I did have Quinnen before, but the quarterback, it could be a 15-year. You're now a perennial playoff team for the next 15 years.
See, and that's the thing. Like, yep, we've got Kirk Cousins, top 15, between, you know, top 10, top 15 quarterback, between the 10 and 15 range. But Kyler Murray, he's one of those guys who can elevate the play around you guys. He creates space. He makes plays out of nothing.
It's sort of the, like Kirk Cousins is that you need the supporting cast to be strong to make that Super Bowl run. Like we've talked about a Matt Ryan, a Joe Flacco.
Matt Stafford.
You know, like... Unless everything around him, if there's problems around, like last year, offensive line wasn't good enough, it kind of falls apart. Kyler Murray doesn't need the best supporting cast. He can lift those guys.
Yep.
And that's the difference. And that's why you take him if he's there.
And Reddy brought up the point of Raiders offer you 4-27 and you're the Cardinals. The best offer you get is a third round pick.
For Rosen.
What do you do? I still sit there.
We both still said Murray.
You take Murray because you can sit and hope. All right, if Rosen doesn't work out, you can get a quarterback next year. You can get pieces around Rosen this year. Why would you wait when you've got it right there?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like there's no guarantees you're going to be the worst team next year.
And there's no guarantees that Kyler Murray is going to be great either.
Which is true.
From what we see, it's like...
Yeah. For what we think, which is just our opinion, we think he's really good. If you don't, then don't take him. But, like, I would take a quarterback number one, even with the Vikings roster, if I think he's as good as I think Kyler Murray is.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the point.
So. And I don't know who everyone else has as their top offensive lineman, but as a Viking, at number one, it's like, okay, Jonah Williams is a, 10-year Pro Bowler, or, Kyler Murray is a 10-year Pro Bowler. Yeah, Jonah Williams is the bigger need, but you take the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean...
Granted, we have Kirk Cousins, but you still take the quarterback.
And, like, as we go through this, I kind of wanted to hit on, like, why each of these positions could be a need. And, like, people might go, you have Kirk Cousins, you don't need a quarterback. He's only here for 2 more years. And we only have Slaughter behind him, so it's just...
This makes me feel like you got some safeties and some cornerbacks in your top 20 board now. Okay, all right, I'm intrigued by this.
I just think a lot of people want to just, like, there's only one position where I find it really hard to take, and we can get to that, but, like, otherwise, I feel there is
no holds barred, I mean,
because
really.
Because after we got the linemen that we just picked up, I know they're not amazing, but they're solid pieces that can at least start. It just really feels like we can go best player available. And I can argue there's a need, maybe not immediate need, but a very soon you might need this guy. So
I like
we'll get through as we go through it. I think we should talk about that because I think people might say that some position makes zero sense. I think I've even said it early on. Well, I'm coming around to the idea that, like, looking at contracts and stuff that, you know, again, maybe not this year, but future. And we've even talked about how our first round picks or first player we pick hasn't always made an impact. So don't just think you're going to get some solid starter right away. You might get Mike Hughes, who plays two games.
Yeah, and, like, who knows? I know it's not going to happen, but say we get a Quinnen Williams, who's to say he doesn't tear his ACL something
or
silly?
Or maybe he's not good. Or you know, there's no, so just draft the guys you think are the best. And if you
make it, you're an NFL team. Yeah. There's no such thing as overabundance of talent on the roster.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's why you would take a Kyler Murray, even though you have Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
That's why you take Nick Bosa, though you have Danielle Hunter.
And like, yeah, you can kind of skew it like, hey, I think this is more of an immediate need. And I have these two guys graded the exact same. Okay, I'll take the immediate need. But I don't want to start reaching for guys that are lesser players when just because you want to go for a need. So number two. Oh, I said I had Kyler Murray 1-2, right?
Yeah.
We both have Kyler Murray number one. Number two, I'm assuming we both have Quinnen Williams.
Yes.
Ridiculously good. Three tech.
Think about getting a three tech of like Kevin Williams Satcher. When you hear Quinnen Williams, think, all right, we're going to get a perennial Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and I think of any player, it would be the most like impactful on the 2018 Vikings. Like immediately, 2019 Vikings. Immediately, you just plug him in and he'd be a great player at a need. Yep. Never going to be there. So who's your number three player?
Number three, Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa. Okay. Not my number three.
Okay.
DN from Ohio State. Brother Joey Bosa. Beast. Hurt this year though, right?
Yeah. I got hurt and then sat out the last half.
Yeah. So my number three is Christian Wilkins.
Okay.
And that is sort of, I think he's a similar talent-wise to Bosa. I'm going to take the three tech over the D end.
Okay.
But we've talked about Wilkins. We love Wilkins.
Yeah, Wilkins.
I think we'll maybe talk about, not this week, but my guys. Like, who does Grapes and Gorak have higher than other people? Wilkins is on that list.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, there's other three techs like Ed Oliver and everything out there. And
that people seem to like a lot.
But Wilkins, I mean, does it for us tape-wise, production-wise.
Mm-hmm. And I keep reading that he's like a really good character guy too, like a leader and everything.
He's a Zimmer guy.
He's a Zimmer guy. And I've seen mocks where he goes, never falls to the second, but 20s to late 20s, and so he's very possible to be there on the board, and we and you see him, I mean, I see him as a top three player.
Yep.
So your number four.
My number four is Christian Wilkins.
Okay, your number four is Christian Wilkins. My number four is Ed Oliver.
It's Ed Oliver.
Ed Oliver. So okay.
So question, is it due to talent or need at this point that Bosa has slimmed down?
It is due to the fact that I think Ed Oliver is just as talented as Bosa, and I prefer a DT over a DN.
Okay.
Same thing with Wilkins. I think reading more about Ed Oliver, they used him not really as a three tech penetrator.
It was everywhere.
He's all over the place. So I think if he's with that ridiculous athletic ability, plug him in. I think he could be just as good as Bosa at DT as Bosa's at DN. So I want the DT.
Houston seemed to use Ed Oliver everywhere just to try and create mismatches, whether it was playing him out of place or not.
Exactly.
You know, there's some highlights of him standing up.
Well,
there's some highlights of him playing, you know, wide and nine.
And he's so like talented, that. He can play all over, and he was their like main chess piece where you bring him to our team and just say, here's your role, get good at this one thing, be a three tech and dominate. I think he would be really good. Yeah. And say we had a bigger need at DN, Bosa would probably be number three on my board, or even maybe above Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
But I prefer the DTs over the DN. So your number five.
Jonah Williams,
yeah. Tackle. I'll just say mine is still high
on Jonah Williams.
Mine is Bosa at five, so we'll just skip past him. But Jonah Williams, he's high on mine. I like that he kind of works the best for this year because he can play guard for a year and then take Reef's job.
Yep, I like it.
I worry that he's not. Can he be a left tackle?
Like, why are you worried? Is his arms are?
I don't know. I just worry that when people keep bringing up guard and then to tackle, like. It just doesn't seem like the pure pass protecting.
I think it's more or less because there's a lot of teams with bigger need at guard.
So then it's like he can play. It's almost like a positive. It's the versatility.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I feel like that a lot, and a lot of people I think are kind of thinking your way, where it's like, oh, maybe he's just not a pure tackle. But I think,
yeah, I don't know which way that goes. He's a
pure tackle.
Yeah. That can also play guard. That can also type of thing. So. Yeah.
So maybe. But I've also heard, so he wouldn't be a pure tackle.
Then. Yeah.
He's a really good tackle. He's super athletic. I mean, if he can play inside and play outside, it just shows his athleticism.
Yeah.
And it shows his football
IQ. I just worry that there are some people that I've heard on NFL Network and stuff say, I see him more as a guard or a right tackle. You know,
but yeah, then there's a lot of people who think Brian O'Neill is too athletic to play right tackle.
Yeah.
So then you move him to left tackle after Reef moves on, and you got Jonah Williams at right tackle. And like within a zone block scheme, you can find the interior lineman anywhere.
We'll talk about the interior. Like, I feel like I've sort of moved them down a little because I think in our scheme you can find them.
Yep.
But the tackles is what you want. Do you think if you drafted Jonah Williams to be a pure left tackle, he's the best one in the draft?
Yeah. Okay. Yep, I do.
Because if we go to my number six, I have Andre Dillard ahead of Jonah Williams.
Okay.
Because I think he's the best left tackle in the draft.
Right.
And I think, is it the best for the 2018 Vikings? Probably not. Because what you're doing now is you're having to move Reef.
Yep.
But I think in 5 years, I'd rather have, or even in 2 years, say after this year we cut Reef, I'd rather have the for sure thing left tackle, best pass protector already on our team than finding out can Jonah Williams do that. No. Jonah Williams is my next one. So who do you have at six?
I have Ed Oliver.
Okay. We talked about him. Yep.
And then seven, I have Dillard.
Okay. So I have Jonah Williams at seven. So you had Jonah at five, then Ed Oliver, then Dillard.
So those three are all kind of swept.
Yep. They're right around there. I have Ed Oliver a little bit higher because I have both in there. But we both, I think, like, I have Dillard and Jonah Williams back to back. I like Dillard slightly more because I think that pure left tackle is more valuable, but I totally would be happy with both. I'm not, like, it's splitting hairs. It's
and a lot of people,
Dillard's a riser, too.
And at first, like, I was kind of against Dillard.
Yep.
I really don't know why, but I think it was more or less run blocking.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think we were talking in Chicago, like, he's a left tackle. You don't draft a left tackle because he's good at run blocking.
Yeah.
You want the pure pass protector. Anything he gives you as a run blocker is a plus.
And it's not like he was a bad run blocker. It's just his strength is clearly pass protection. Yeah. And he's had a great offseason as far as like combine, pro day. He's been crushing it.
Interviews.
And he's definitely someone that moved up our board and I think is moving up others. Because we talked about how we were like, I remember looking him up and being like, you see, like, what's his deal? And then Daniel Jeremiah had him like 11th, and we're like, Daniel Jeremiah's got him 11th. That's crazy. Well, now he's 6th on my board,
and he's 7th on mine.
Yours. So, someone that's definitely shot up.
And he does move up in our board because some other guys have moved down because of the way the draft has gotten.
Free agency has gotten. Yeah. So, Jonah Williams probably fits better for 2018. I think Dillard, I like more as a, like, just value wise because he's left tackle, but I would take either one. So, what are we on? 7?
8.
So moving to 8, who is your 8?
I've got DK Metcalf still.
DK Metcalf, still okay. Up there high. So this will be a good discussion because I have Marquise Brown number 8.
Oh, okay. All
right. I just think if Marquise Brown wasn't hurt right now, he would be getting top 10, top 15 hype. And he can't show anyone how good he is. I know it's just highlight scouting, just watching his highlights. He tore up.
But who does he have throwing? But who did he have throwing to him?
Well, he had a good quarterback, but who's getting open?
Who's getting open? I mean, speed kills.
He's wide open.
Because speed kills.
Yeah, well, bring that speed to our team.
Okay, that's why I've got him. That's why I've got Metcalf. 4-3-3.
Why couldn't he get open?
He was open.
Okay, well, one of them performed really good in college and one of them didn't. So you're saying it was the quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well,
remember, DK Metcalf. Okay, so Randy Moss. No, I'm sorry. I won't do that one.
Randy Moss murdered people at Marshall.
Oh, no, I was going to bring up the Randy Moss of the Vikings versus Randy Moss on the Raiders.
What does that mean?
Moss was terrible on the Raiders because he didn't have anyone throwing to him.
No, it wasn't because they wasn't throwing to him. He didn't give a fuck.
They had fucking Derek Anderson throwing
to
him.
Who did he have throwing to him on the Vikings?
Randall Cunningham. Dante Culpepper.
Okay, after Culpepper. He had great games with Sean Hill and Jeff George and come on.
Jeff George is a former top 5 pick. Do not give me that Jeff George shit.
Matt Castle and
never played with Randy Moss.
Didn't he when they went 11-5 and missed the playoffs? Well, wasn't that a Moss year?
I don't think so. Didn't Moss only play the
I thought literally the year after they went undefeated. Was Moscana for that? I thought the year after they were undefeated, they missed the playoffs because Brady got hurt. Like,
that's right.
Pretty sure Moss played with them, and dominated because he's Randy Moss. Okay. I'm not. I
was just trying to use the quarterback comparison. I am not.
I get why that could hurt your production, and they also had a lot of mouths to feed in at Ole Miss.
Yeah, like, and they didn't. They weren't kind of. They weren't really a passing team. It's the SEC. It's smash mouth football, run the ball, good defense.
I want to take the guy that when I watch highlights, he's dominating, not the guy who dominates the combine.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, Metcalf's 6'4", 6'5", 4.33 speed.
A lot of guys have been fast and tall and bust.
Name one.
Dorial Green Beckham.
You could have said, I was thinking, first name that came to my mind was Darius Hayward Bay.
Yeah, you know, he stuck around as a fifth string receiver for quite a while. I for some reason, DK Metcalf scares the crap out of me. There's something about him.
You know,
Ole Miss, Laquon Treadwell, I don't know if it's that, it's the jersey.
You know, he scares a lot of people. And like, I am kind of scared of DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. But I also don't want to be the guy who passes up on DK Metcalf.
Yeah. You don't want to be...
Like, I don't want to be Jerry Jones,
I was just going to say that, where he was like, did you pass on Randy Moss? The only thing difference with that is like, he did it for off-the-field stuff, because like, if you took that away, Randy Moss should have went top five. Like, he had the production, the measurables, everything. It's just character problems.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, I just don't want to be the guy to pass out. Let's just say he's Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, and like, you know, with that one video, that guy broke it down where it's like, if you just have him running these certain routes like Calvin Johnson did, you can really...
And that's it brings me to the Belichick thing. Don't focus on what a guy can't do.
Yeah.
Focus on what he can do.
Yeah.
Well, and what Metcalf can do is he can run fast and he can catch the ball in traffic.
Yeah.
So like posts, goes, hitches, comebacks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't run him on a drag because that's not his style. Don't run him on a little like...
Don't make him
zero.
Do double moves. Don't make him do anything.
I mean, and he's not playing for DeFilippo, so double moves won't matter.
Yeah. Well, we got guys that can do that.
Yeah.
You know, I just, with Marquise Brown, I think if he did get to do his combine and stuff, I think he would be a lot higher in people's minds. And,
you know, again, he was higher until I had to add the players that I took off because they won't be there. But, you know.
Yeah, that's how that works. So, number nine, who do you got number nine?
Hockenson.
Hey, I also have TJ Hockenson.
Hey, there we go.
Iowa tight end. All-around beast.
It was tough for me to choose between Hockenson and Font.
Oh, me for sure. Do you have Font next?
No, I don't.
Well, I have Font next. So I just put him back to back. I actually think Font fits what we need better this year. And I literally would draft Font and then cut Rudolph. Not cut him, trade him for like a fifth or something. Because then I could have the blocker in Morgan and the move guy
In Font.
Not that you couldn't use Rudolph and Font together and stuff. But I think Hockenson overall, he's safer. And he could really help the run game.
TJ Hockenson reminds me a lot of Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I can see that.
Solid blocker. I mean, Hockenson's probably a better blocker than Ertz, but Ertz is a very willing blocker.
Yeah.
So kind of, I don't know, Hockenson is just kind of like that, again, that Ertz, Kelce, Gronk mold to me.
Yeah.
You know, like they're good blockers, but they're really good pass catchers too.
He would. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised, like, you know, a tight end that high, but
I wouldn't put it past TJ Hockenson going to the Jags at seven.
Yeah, no. And a lot of people have like slotted him with like Detroit or, you know, there's...
Yeah, hockey. I think
there's not a lot of good tight ends in the league.
And a lot of teams will probably value these top two tight ends a little more than they did in the past.
Yeah.
So, because tight end's a total mismatch. You literally have to defend them with either a cornerback, linebacker, or a safety. Like and you have to pick which one you want to defend them with. Do you want them to burn past the linebacker?
Yeah.
But then again, can you guard them with a safety? They're bigger than a safety.
Yeah, so you just kind of like
out-muscle them. And cornerback, okay, so you want to guard Fon with a cornerback. Okay, he's 6'5", 250.
And he runs a 4.5, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And also, you put Hockenson out there and they want to put a safety or a corner on him. Okay, well, what if we run the ball?
Gonna destroy
him. Now he's gonna easily wipe that guy out of the play, or he's gonna crash down and take someone else out. So
even if he just chips a corner on his way to go out,
get someone else, like it's gonna be good. You just hope they don't end up like Eric Ebron. Well, Ebron's good now, but like there's been a lot of first round tight ends that kind of really haven't.
Brandon Pettigrew.
Pettigrew, just haven't lived up to.
And O.J. Howard, I mean, he good he could player, be
really good, but
so far it kind of sounds like when they talked about O.J. Howard, it was immediate, probably top 10 tight end.
Yeah, like, is that worth a first? You know, like you just hope they're more immediately on the level of like a George Kittle,
Zach who Ertz. Was drafted in the fifth, who was drafted in the third.
It's a little bit like, fourth. Am I pulling the trigger on tight end too early? But I just really like these two, so I actually have Hockenson then Font. Who do you have as your number 10?
Number 10, I'm still Bradberry guy.
Okay, Bradberry. Yep,
Bradberry's still. And I know, like, we've signed a bunch of guards and everything, but I think Bradberry's just kind of fits that Travis Frederick the way he was drafted for the Cowboys. Like, immediately, like, if Frederick wasn't hurt, didn't have that weird disease or whatever, Frederick's a 10-year Pro Bowler. And I think that's what you're getting out of
Bradberry. I think Bradberry's one of the safer guys in the draft. Like, the only thing is, it's been a lot of people saying he's more of a pure center. So if you can't move him to guard, do you move Elflein to guard? I think.
See, the thing with Bradberry is I want to put him higher, but at the same time, you've got to make the draft board as if we're picking number one overall
and not 18. The ones are gone, yeah. So and also the problem, too, is it's like when I want to put Bradberry or these other interior linemen higher, I keep thinking like, but does like, can Kubiak just find a guy in the third and plug him in? And I could have took like a DK Metcalf instead and gotten some dude in the second.
Yep, and Kubiak's draft history isn't very good if you want to draft a lineman in the first two rounds. I think he's only in, about 20 years as a coordinator or like, you know,
top head coach, coordinator, all that stuff. Yeah,
I think I saw he's only drafted five guys in the first two rounds.
Of linemen?
Of offensive linemen.
Well, and that's part of the whole thing with him is scheme more than players. So it's like we can plug guys in and just, which is why I sort of push down the interior guys, because I still think Jonah Williams, Andre Dillard, those are tackles. That's a little different.
And who, I'm trying to think of the Gopher offensive lineman that Kubiak had in Denver. Mm. It was years ago. Greg Esslinger?
That sounds right. Yep,
Esslinger. Yeah, either Esslinger or there was another guard on the same line who blocked for him. But he had one of those guys, Ben Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
That's who it was. Ben Hamilton drafted him in the sixth round, and he turned him in. I think he made a Pro Bowl once or twice. Mm-hmm.
That's like, as much as I like a guy like Bradberry, I just sometimes I look at it and go, I'll just take a lineman in third,
Yep.
But I get there's going to be a lot of Viking fans that are like, stop messing around and just take a lineman. So that was your 10.
Yep.
Number 11 for me.
Who was your 10?
Noah Font. So Noah. I did Hockenson and Font back to back. And then my number 11 is Jerry Tillery, the DT from Notre Dame.
Okay.
I just read that he had a torn labrum at the combine.
He had another injury problem. Because didn't he do the entire season with the torn labrum?
He torn his labrum and played through it.
And he had the combine.
Still wasn't fixed. They did it afterwards and he still had a really good combine.
I didn't know that.
He did.
He's number 17 on my board, but after hearing that, like that might move him up, because you're playing hurt, you destroy the combine, mm-hmm. and you have 7.5 sacks as a 3-tech.
What I like about him is he just seems like he's a really good pass rusher, and it would be interior pressure up the middle. It's a need.
And Andre Patterson Zimmer can teach like gap assignment.
Mm-hmm.
I've got him 17.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't know he was torn labrum at the
combine. I've always been a little higher on him than you, I feel like. We kind of forgot to hit the positional thing. So DT, why it's a need, I think is pretty obvious. We don't have, we lost Sheldon Richardson. But I feel like you can also argue that it might not be as much as a need. Again, I kind of want to just talk about, devil's advocate. We do have Jaleel Johnson. We do have Jalen Holmes. We did sign Shamar Stephen, and the year before last year, it was Tom Johnson, and it was 13-3, and the defense was really good. So, as much as I think a DT is a blatant need, say we ended up just not drafting a guy, or we get a late round, and Jalen Holmes steps up, and he's good. Looking at that, I think DT is a big need right now, but, to play devil's advocate, I think there is some options if we don't get one.
See, and we're not in the Vikings draft room or we're not in the front office. So maybe Zimmer and Patterson are higher on Jaleel Johnson and Jalen Holmes than we actually think.
Exactly. We don't know if they see him as just, okay, these guys didn't really, they're not really developing. They're more backup types. Or is it I really like how Jalen Holmes
practiced last year, but he had Sheldon in front of him.
He had to move from DN to DT. Maybe he's someone that can develop. So just looking at it on paper, it looks like a big need. But again, to play the other side, maybe there is some options. Plus, if you say you grab a guy in the third or the fourth to also compete with that, would be interesting.
Yep.
Also, if you missed on the DTs. Who's your number 11?
Number 11, I have Jawan Taylor.
The
tackle from Florida.
Tackle from Florida. Yep. Yeah.
And I wanted to move him even lower. So
we both swapped him and Dillard.
Yeah.
I went Dillard all the way to one, but when we first did this, we had Taylor as our number 2 tackle.
Yep.
And I kept... Something about him I'm not big on. I feel like he's a pure right tackle. He's a mauler. Does that fit us?
See, and that's...
Do I want a right tackle in the first round?
And that's the thing. That's why I had him at 11, and I wanted to push him down. I mean, they're probably... I mean, looking at my board, I mean, right now I kind of want to push him down to 16.
But you didn't. You already submitted.
No, I'm just saying... Like,
this guy's trying to move guys around late.
I'm just looking at it, and it's like, God, you know... Jawan Taylor, you know, good prospect and everything. It's just, he could be a really solid right tackle. It's just, is it the kind of right tackle?
Exactly. It's funny. He's one of those guys where it's like, you've got to put him on your board somewhere, but we also kind of don't, not that we don't want him, but there's other guys I'm more excited to get, but it's like, well, I can't not have him in my top 20. He's like really good.
Yeah.
But talking about offensive tackle, as far as need, now we could not draft one at all. Reef O'Neal, but I think very shortly soon we're gonna need a left tackle unless O'Neal can move to left and you draft the right tackle, which is where Jawan Taylor could kind of fit if you think O'Neal is a future left tackle.
Which I personally do think.
I think he could certainly play it, but now if we did draft a Dillard or a Jonah Williams and they became left tackle,
I'm completely comfortable. Yeah,
that's two pretty damn good bookends because you don't know where the hell the Bears are gonna put Khalil Mack. They might just stick him on the right side. Jawan Taylor handled Khalil Mack with being more of a mauler.
I think Jawan Taylor's better handling Akeem Hicks there. Three tack.
Yeah. Or someone maybe like DeMarcus Lawrence, who's more of a power guy,
yep,
versus Khalil Mack, who's just going to beat him with speed. Yep. Not that Taylor's a bad athlete, but everything I read on him, it's mauler. It's power.
And
it's...
You see, we play a lot of team. Actually, our entire division is 3-4.
Yep.
So you do kind of want a more athletic right tackle
out there, yeah,
to get out on the edge because they're lining the their pass rushers. I mean, sometimes you see them where it's like lined up against the slot receiver, close to the slot receiver. They're even at it's not a wide 9 tech. It's not a 9 tech. It's more like an 11 tech, and they just run around everyone.
So,
and you want somebody who's athletic enough to move out and handle that blitzing nickelback or blitzing safety. So
we want, I don't know if he's like not athletic, but his style is more power and we're running a zone scheme. So someone that I think we both are a little bit lower on than when we first talked about this.
Yep. We've done a lot more research.
We're getting firming up our opinions a little more.
Next year's offseason, we're going to crush it.
So that was your 11th.
Yep.
All right. My number 12 is Dalton Risner. I just think he's another one of those that's like, he's probably a sure thing. Like, he might not be a tackle. He also played some center, but I think he's a guard, and you could draft him, and he would immediately be a starter for 8 to 10 years.
So if we had the 12th pick in the draft, and all those guys went, Dalton Risner goes before everyone else.
Yep. Okay. The only ones, I mean, some of the DNs I think may be more talented, but I think... they're close enough that I would take Risner.
Okay.
I like Risner more than Jawan Taylor. I like Risner more than Bradbury because of the guard ability.
Okay. See,
Bradbury could for sure play guard, I don't know if they want to move Elfline. Bradbury's pretty small though. Risner has played center, guard, tackle. That's versatility. He's had 4 years of great tape, great. So
and two different schemes too, because he played for Coach Snyder, I think it's Snyder at Kansas State, and then he retired and they hired the guy from North Dakota State who won all those titles.
Yeah.
He's their head coach now. So those are two completely different styles. Mm-hmm. And I think he played guard for Snyder and now he played tackle the last 2 years, right?
Yep. And he played a little bit of center at one point, apparently. Yep. And I just think he's boring. I think that's sort of why.
I think that's why I don't have him in my top 20.
In your top 20? Because he's boring. And he's not even as cool as like a Bradbury who kind of was like, not talked about. And they'll say, hey, this Bradberry guy just ripped up the combine. He actually's got great tape.
Well, and I liked Bradberry from the start.
Yeah, you were early on him. I just, like, it was, Risner's just always sort of been, Dalton Risner, Risner, I don't know what it is. It's always sort of been like, oh, he's like a mid to late first. Good, real solid, very good player, good pro. Like, nothing exciting about it. But, and maybe there's a couple guys if I would shift. I will get to one that I think I might move up. But right now, he's, yeah, my 12th guy in the draft.
Okay. 12 is Noah Font for me.
Noah Font, talk about him. And to talk about tight end, as far as a need, I think Rudolph's that near the end of his career. So, clearly a need, I think.
Yeah.
Even one for this year.
He's just got... last year of his contract.
Last year, and we're not, we haven't restructured it yet. I know a lot of fans are begging for it, but it's like, again, don't do it until you absolutely need it.
Yep, you've been huge on that. Like with Rudolph, yeah, you can restructure him, but do you want to pay him $7.5 million this year, or do you want to pay him $2 million each of the next 3 years?
Yeah, and with the thing with Rudolph is it's not an easy restructure. It's not turning base salary into signing bonus because this is his last year. You have to add years and stick, assuming you're trying to lower his cap, you got to put guaranteed money in future years.
Yep. And like Kyle Rudolph on Twitter had already said earlier this offseason, you'd be dumb not to take a restructure if they offered it to you. Which means he hasn't been offered it.
Yeah, which of course he wants a restructure. He's going to get the same amount of money and be locked into a more guaranteed money next year. But maybe we don't want to do it, you know? Yeah. And again, like we said earlier, if we took a Noah Font, who you have, was that 12?
Yep.
I very easily could see us trading Rudolph for like a fourth or fifth, even, maybe a sixth.
I honestly think we would try and trade him for
anything, like, something.
Yeah, if somebody doesn't want to give you a fifth and they want to give you a conditional sixth that turns into a seventh if he doesn't make their roster kind of deal.
And then you're opening up like $7 million of cap this year. People that are like, how are we going to sign our picks? How are we going to sign, you know, these players? Like, we're not done yet. Like, there's clearly moves to be made.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, and all the future moves are contingency plans. They all bank on something else happening in the draft.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of things that are going to happen in the draft that could change things. And then it's exactly why you haven't restructured Rudolph yet. Because you might not even keep him on your team. Or you only want him for a year because you pick up a Chase Sternberger in the second, and it's like, we don't want him next year.
No, because so we're going to figure out another way
to save a little cap that doesn't involve keeping Rudolph. So that was your 12th.
Mm-hmm.
My 13th is Bradberry, right behind Risner, whatever. We talked about him. Who's your 13th?
I've got Josh Allen at 13.
Okay, Josh Allen.
Just because at that
it's
point...
it's crazy how low we have him. I actually have him even lower, but it's not a need and not a scheme fit. And he's a 3-4 outside linebacker.
And I'm not even like huge on Josh Allen in the top five to begin
as,
with.
Even if you were a 3-4 team.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a really good 3-4 outside linebacker, but yeah, I don't know. I think he's...
I honestly don't think I've seen any tape of him with his hand in the dirt.
No, that's the problem. I think he's actually more... If we were to sign him, we would use him more as how we use Anthony Barr. And that role is filled now.
And that's what we talked about in the last episode.
Before
I thought,
we
actually,
Barr,
it was like, you know, maybe Josh Allen fits that Anthony Barr role.
So it makes total sense.
And I forgot what I was watching, but it was an older Vikings clip, and it was Robeson playing three tech, but standing up.
Oh, he does that. He did that all the time.
Yeah, I want to go back to that.
I think we are missing that role where we had that third down pass rusher.
And see, if we add a pass rusher in the draft who can play right away, or maybe Jalen Holmes stands, you know, since he used to play. And I just
thought maybe like Everson Griffin could go to three tech and have Weatherly.
We talked about that. With Barr with his hand in the dirt.
Yeah, Griffin's game is built such on strength that you'd think he could push the pocket from the interior. But speaking of DN, so like if you did draft a Josh Allen and keep him at DN, not that Josh Allen's going to be there, but I think that's also a sneaky need. Like, obviously, Daniel Hunter's here for the long term. Griffin, maybe, maybe not. And then Weatherly's 1 year left. Yeah. So going into next offseason, if Griffin doesn't play well, and I think, if he does play well too, his contract
goes
away or something.
There's some weird...
There's something where his contract voids after next season. So we could be entering next season with just Daniel Hunter. So maybe some of these DNs, I don't think Allen or Bosa is going to be there, but there's some other ones coming up on my board, are more of a need than when we enter the offseason and had such blatant needs at linebacker and O-line. Now that those have been filled a little bit, I'm more okay taking a DN as a future.
Yeah,
and maybe they don't even see Weatherly as a full-time starter, you know?
Yeah, maybe he is just that solid, like, good rotational
backup, you know? But, you know, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. But, again, I think that's looking at it more, I see DN as more possibly something we could take.
Yep.
What were we on there? 13?
That was 13.
And I had Bradbury, you had Josh Allen.
Yep.
My 14th is Jawan Taylor, tackle.
Okay, we talked about him.
My
14 is Montez Sweat.
Montez Sweat, okay.
And I've seen him kind of like starting to fall down boards too.
He had the heart thing. I don't know if that's scaring people off. It sounds like it's not nearly as
bad as Maurice Hurst.
Exactly.
Which I think after seeing Hurst do just fine, he fell all the way to the fifth.
Maybe teams are like, oh no, let's not just like completely cross someone off our board. Yeah,
but then again, you go back to the Gaines Adams thing who died of that heart condition.
That's true.
Four years into the league. Mm-hmm. So
that's crazy.
It really is because like he was, and it's weird about Gaines Adams. He was like top five pick. He fell all the way to like the bottom half of the second or something like
that. No, Gaines. Oh wait, did he? I thought he went top five.
No, I thought Gaines Adams was somebody who ended up falling.
Or
was he a top five pick still?
Maybe I'm wrong.
They were just talking about.
Yeah, no, fourth overall.
Okay.
But yeah, then he was actually not that great. And then he went to a new team, was finally like or maybe he didn't, I don't know if he went to a new team or if he just started finally coming on. And then, yeah, he died. That's crazy. Yep,
that was wild. Rest in peace. Yeah. Rip in peace.
Adams. Montez
14 Sweat. Montez Sweat.
I think he's a great fit in our scheme, much more than Josh Allen, which is why I have him ahead of Josh Allen on my board.
At the same time, though, is it a problem that Sweat and Hunter are kind of the same player?
They're very similar. Do I think it's a problem? No.
I
give me two Daniel Hunters. I'm okay with it. But they're very much athletic freaks. Sweat had great production, though.
But hasn't Zimmer always had like the speed rusher and the power guy on the other end?
Here's the thing, though. Hunter should be on the other side.
Really?
He should be where Everson Griffin is, where Jared Allen was, where he was when Griffin wasn't playing.
He did play better.
He played really well inside, because I think that's more of the pass rush side. And the other side, you're usually holding your edge, which was always the Ray Edwards role. Not in Zimmer's D, but Ray Edwards, Brian Robeson. Who was it before? It was Robeson before Hunter, right?
Yep.
So I think he'd be fine. I think I would flip him though, and I think I would have Sweat be where Hunter is and Hunter be on the other side. I don't know. I guess
I think I would like that too, because at that point Sweat's going up against weaker competition, like pass blocking wise. Whereas Danielle Hunter's so good, he can handle whoever they throw at him.
Yeah.
And like how often is a top five DN and Hunter gonna face even a top 10 left tackle?
Right. So
not very often. Mm-hmm. And even if you are a top 10 left tackle, you're still not very good. Because I'm just saying, like, offensive line is so, like, scarce now.
It's bad. It's like every team is bitching about their line.
Yep.
Like, if you look around, it's like, oh, wait, it's not just us. I mean, there's, like, three teams that have good lines.
And I think I mentioned it on the last podcast, but a couple of years ago, somebody had said, like, you know, all this spread scheme and everything, like, it's going to affect the NFL line play. And it has.
And what's weird, though, is this draft actually seems somewhat deep with linemen. So kind of an anomaly year, which is a good time to need alignment, I guess.
But, yep. And like you said, like we're both more than okay with not taking one the first two rounds and grabbing a couple of them mid rounds.
Yep, third to the fifth-ish.
As
far as DM with Sweat, how do you think that would look for this? Say you drafted a DM, what would that look like this year? Obviously Griffin and Hunter are your starters. Weatherly's rotating in, but then also you're rotating in a rookie. Obviously an injury would... You'd have a guy, but...
I think at first, you see more Weatherly.
Yeah, and then slowly maybe it's the rookie a little more.
Yep, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, Weatherly, Montez Sweat for Let's Shits and Gig is a lot better than you. We see a lot more of him. All of a sudden, Weatherly's playing, you know, 30% of the snaps. Now it goes down to he's maybe 5 to 10
snaps a game and he's not playing much. And, you know, teams like the Eagles have always been like 7-8 deep at D-line and just rotating them more, keeping them fresh.
Last year when we got Sheldon Richardson, we were always kind of like, you know, rotation-wise, you know, we got Weatherly. And
it still didn't really happen much. I mean, Weatherly played quite a bit.
And then we re-signed, and then we got Tom Johnson. What was that, week three? We're talking, you know, that rotation thing's going to start building again.
It was more than the year before, but it's still, I don't feel like it was as much as teams like the Eagles do it.
You know?
Like, because... The year before was really like, I think we didn't rotate nearly. Like
no, didn't. I feel like a lot of our guys played like the most 90%. Yeah. Well, Iverson Griffin and Linval, I believe, all played both played the most snaps in their entire career that year. Our 13-3 year. But it fits the mold of play your good players.
Yeah. But if you got guys like Montez Sweat on the bench, then it's like, all right, I'd rather have a fresh Montez Sweat than a tired Iverson Griffin.
Or even a tired Danielle Hunter. Really
good. Yeah. Although Zimmer, when asked, you know, if you're playing Hunter too many snaps, he's like, have you seen him? Like, he doesn't get tired. Like, come on.
Well, don't they call him creative player?
Yeah, creative player. That's so good.
Like that might be my favorite nickname.
Yeah, they need to like get that out there more. I feel like that's only
we should get Vikings jerseys number 99 on the back that says creative player.
Yeah. That was that your 15?
No. Nope. Montez Sweat was 14.
So my 14 was Juwan Taylor, and your 14 was Montez Sweat.
And my 15 is Hollywood Brown.
Okay, who was my number 8.
Yep.
Moved him way up. Yeah, big Hollywood Brown guy.
You know, and I'm not opposed to it. I just, you know, it just happened this way. It's risky. You know, I bet if he plays in the combine, I'm right there with you.
I just think that's the main thing. And then also, he does have, he missed it because he's hurt. I think his biggest thing is injuries because them guys that run like that, I just feel like they have tendency to pop a hamstring, you know, stuff like that. But so yours was Hollywood Brown. Mine is Jeffrey Simmons. And I, looking at it now, might even consider moving him up some over some of these linemen I just said, like Reisner, Bradbury, Taylor. But for now, he's 15. I think if he didn't have the ACL tear, he'd be a top 10 pick. He does have that offseason thing, but I really think everyone's kind of moved on from that. It was high school, and it's been like 4 years.
Yep.
It's really the ACL at this point, and I think he's already off his crutches. You might even get to use him some this year. And like talent-wise and like size and athletic, he's a beast.
See, at first watching Jeffrey Simmons, wasn't too impressed.
Right.
But like the more you kind of check it out, it's like, okay, he may not have like the biggest splash plays, but consistency-wise, he's always there.
Yeah.
Whether he's making a I don't know, countless plays you see him making tackles on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden he's there along the edge. After the dudes ran around DNs and linebackers, Jeffrey Simmons is there for a 6-yard gain rather than a dude flying by someone for 17 yards or whatever.
Yeah, he's got a motor in. I think at 18, if you took him, you're getting a top 10, 12-ish talent, and you only got him a little bit later because he's hurt right now.
Yep. So, I've got Simmons at 18.
Okay, so yeah, also in the top 20. Yep. And that's with the torn ACL. So that just shows how good he is.
Yep.
After 15, who do you have?
16? I have 16. I've got Rashawn Gary.
Rashawn Gary? Okay. Yep. He's actually outside of my top 20 right now.
Okay. A lot of people have him labeled as edge, but
he's not. For us, he would not be an edge.
And I don't see him as an edge guy.
No.
I see him as a guy who, a 4-3 team, if you draft him as a 3-4 edge guy, I think you're fucked. If you draft him as a 4-3 edge guy, you're fucked. But if you draft, say the Falcons take him at 3-tech, add 15 pounds onto him.
Yeah.
Again, he was a quarterback coming into college.
Yeah.
Now you move him to edge. So, and he plays 60 pounds heavier than he ever has. No wonder why he's not being very productive, because he's never played the position.
He's not, it's not usually.
You're drafting a raw guy, a Danielle Hunter type guy, athletic freak. Yeah, you're doing it in the top 32, which might scare a lot of people.
But
the fact that he can go from quarterback to DN means he's coachable.
Yeah.
And but he takes in everything.
The only thing, though, is I've heard that he did not want to play 3-tech at Michigan.
Well, no, because he probably wanted all the glory of being an edge rusher. But I don't think he...
Once you get to the NFL, though, are you really talking... Like, no, I feel like an NFL team would be like, hey, your best reps are at 3-tech. Best chance is at 3-tech.
Mike Zimmer's staring you right in the face and saying, you're playing 3-tech. Are you going to tell him no?
So, the thing with Gary, I think he could go anywhere from top 5 to second round. He's definitely one of those guys. Like, if he's on the board in the second round, there's always those players that fall to the second where it's like, how is he still available? Like, I want that guy. Like, Dalvin Cook. Like, he could be that guy, or he could go top 5. But I have him 23 on my board. Okay. If we took him, I would love it because that means the Vikings liked him.
Yeah.
Like, if the Texans take him, I'm going to be like, nah, who knows what they're idiots. They'll probably put him in end or do something stupid with him.
No.
But if the Vikings take him, I feel like we have a plan. We have great defensive line coaches. Like, I don't trust us taking a receiver. I don't trust us taking a lineman. I trust us taking a defensive lineman.
See, I trust us taking a defensive player, and I know everyone's any always defensive player. A lot of people, everyone bitches, oh, we always draft defense in the first round. Given the last defensive player we took in the first round that hasn't produced.
Yeah, Sharif Floyd, because he got hurt, who was going to be good.
And wasn't even a Zimmer. Wasn't even a Zimmer.
Yeah. Zimmer hasn't missed on defense. Like, Scott Crichton is his worst defensive pick, I think.
And I mean, you can argue, oh, we took this guy in the sixth or whatever. It's like, yeah, but he was a sixth round pick. Yeah. Zimmer hasn't blown a top third round, like, defensive player.
Yeah. So, like, Gary is sort of caught in between. I like him if we take him, but if I'm just thinking about it, I don't. There's a lot of scary stuff with him. Why doesn't he perform? Simmons over him, who I know fits three tech for sure and has.
He's
also risky too, though.
If we have the 23rd pick and everyone else is ahead of him, you're going, all right, fine.
Yeah.
So let's do it. Like if we trade back and take Rashawn Gary, you're going, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a Trust Zimmer pick. If we take him in, you know. So my next, what was that?
Your 16? We have to make shirts that say Zimmer guy on
them. Was that 16 for you?
Yep.
Okay, my 16th is Brian Burns, DN, Florida State.
Okay.
Some people think he's like a top 10 guy.
I've seen him falling lately.
I have him right ahead of Montez Sweat. I would be
ahead of Sweat.
Yeah, I might flip them, but I do think that
is the heart. If you didn't hear about the heart problem.
It wasn't really, it didn't really have much to do with it. Burns, I just, like, some people think he's, like, I know Draft Network think he's, like, top, like, the best defensive rusher. I think they've ever had a Josh Allen. But, or maybe that's because he put him at linebacker. But Burns could be, it's very much like a Von Miller, like, just coming around the edge, dipping the shoulder, like, all speed rush. So, yeah.
And Burns did perform well at the combine after adding 15 pounds.
Yeah.
And that was a huge knock on him that he only played at, like, 230 or 225 or whatever in college.
And comparing him to Josh Allen, I think Burns can be a 4-3 end more than Josh Allen can.
Yeah.
So, I have him at 16. And then my did you say you're 16 yet?
Yep, I had Rashawn Gary at 16.
Okay, and my 17 is Montez Sweat. We've talked about
that. And him. I had Jerry Tillery at 17.
Tillery, who I had 11th.
So yep, quite a and I set. Had Jeffrey Simmons at 18.
Okay, and I have Josh Allen at 18.
Okay, so at 19, it was Devin White.
Here's where it gets a little, yeah, so linebacker. That's the position I don't.
I when you said there was one position on defense that you don't think, but I just think.
On the whole team.
My last two picks. My last two in the top 20 are Devin White and Devin Bush, just because I think at that point...
They're so talented.
They're so talented, you can't have them off.
Yeah.
But well, like, you do.
So I do. And I have I have my whole first round. I have them as the last two first-round graded guys, just because I don't know what you do with a linebacker. So linebacker, two of your spots are five-year deals. Your other spot plays on the field 20% of the time. What are you going to do? It's really hard for me to take a linebacker. Yeah,
I think, I have Devin White ahead of Devin Bush.
Yep.
But I know you prefer the latter.
Not again, splitting hairs.
Yeah. But the reason why, I'm kind of getting to your point too is just seeing Devin Bush in those D-back drills at the combine.
Well,
which that totally fits like a nickel back.
Almost like if he can cover that well, then maybe you can be like, We're gonna have a nickel defense, but it's more of a
4-3
power nickel defense.
Yeah, that way you can have Barr rushing.
Yep,
and you can have Bush cover someone or vice
like if
versa.
You trust them to like just zone drop and cover a receiver.
Zimmer had mentioned how he's gonna throw a lot more exotic looks, things you haven't seen
outside the box,
and like that. Like if that doesn't give you a hard on, I don't know what does. Like I said, I want all the AAA gaps.
Let's do it.
I love Zimmer. Like Zimmer knows what the hell he's doing on defense. I'm excited when he said that. It's like I want to see what we do.
Where like if we did take a linebacker, which I think it would be kind of crazy. It's like all right, well let's see what the fuck Zimmer's got up his sleeve because he must have something because he's now invested 2 5-year contracts into the guys that are been on the field, and then.
Adding a four with a fifth-year option.
What I could see, though, is...
Somebody said trade Kendricks at that
point. No, and I think you'd have to eat a lot of dead money, though, because you just signed him off offseason. I could see Kendricks' contract isn't that big. It's decent, but I think his cap at this year is like $6
million. Yep.
Because it's 5 years, $50 million, but there's obviously back-ended. Maybe Devin White or Devin Bush becomes the nickel guy. And Kendricks is the two-down guy. Now you got a ridiculously good two. I know he's the middle, but you could have two outsides of your nickel. And you're only paying him, you know, $6 million cap hit. I mean, you're a better defense.
Yeah, and, you know, you say, you know, Kendricks is the middle and he's not playing nickel. In your nickel defense, it's not that you need a Mike linebacker.
There really isn't a Mike linebacker. No. Because there's two of them. You can't be in the middle of two.
Yep. And a lot of people, the only reason why your Mike is usually playing nickel is because he's the one who's calling the plays. Where in our defense, Barr is the one calling the plays.
The reason whoever's in nickel is because they're a better pass coverage guy.
Yeah.
Kendricks is a pretty good pass coverage guy. But say you drafted Devin Bush and he's better. Well, sorry, Kendricks, you're now a two-down back. Yeah.
And you can even have nickel packages where you're swapping out those three.
Absolutely. Yeah, rotating them. I mean, we've rotated corners. We've rotated, keep guys fresh. I don't have a problem with that. Well,
that's another reason why you got to keep both those guys in your top. I mean, they may be low on my top 20, but you got to keep them in there.
They're out of my top 20.
Speaking of Devin White, wasn't he number 5 on both of our boards last time?
Which, if we didn't re-sign Barr, I would still have him there. Because then you have a giant hole that you need to fill.
No, but I'm just using it
to say how good he was. It's just really difficult for me to take someone that might only see the field 20% of the time, or you're taking someone you invested a 5-year, $50 million contract in, and he's only seeing the field for 20. No. It's just tough. But
you know, at that point, also Kendricks's guaranteed money is probably done after the third year, right? I would guess
it's probably the second year. It's probably done.
So
but I don't think it did. His extension even kick until this year.
Good point.
So, I don't see Kendricks or Barr going anywhere anytime soon, but...
I hope they don't, because I really like both of them.
I hope there's another someone on the board that is an obvious choice over a linebacker.
Yeah.
But
I'm hoping...
Also, those two are probably gone by 18. White is definitely, and Bush has really had a great offseason, too. Where
I can definitely see...
there's teams that need him.
Like White going 5 and Bush... I did the mock draft with Nick this morning.
Yep.
Nick had the Broncos taking Bush after I took White at 5 with the Bucks.
Yeah. I mean,
he can even go up to the, you can even talk me into, you know, White going 5 and then Bush going to the Lions at 9.
Yeah, maybe
Lions Lions at 8, the
Raiders
Bills at 9.
Raiders are 4. They could use Devin White.
And then Bush can go right behind him at 5.
Like, I don't see those guys being available on any team. We're spending a lot of time on two linebackers that we're never going to take.
That's a good point. Let's
move on.
So I had 17 Tillery, 18 Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons.
And then your last two were the two linebackers?
Yep.
Okay, so my last two.
But I've got 3 extras on here.
I've got extras too, so we can keep talking.
Yeah,
but
because remember I kept some people off and you're
you don't know what you're doing. You literally just removed players. my 19th is Chris Lindstrom, guard.
He was originally my 19th.
Okay, so here's the scenario. Chris Lindstrom's on the board. Devin White's on the board. Do I think Devin White's the better talent? Yes. But I think Chris Lindstrom is a very good talent who fits a need that not only is a need now, but fills a need for the future where I don't know what you do with Devin White. I mean, it scares me. Like that seems stupid to take a guy who's less talented, but what the fuck do you with that linebacker?
Chris Lindstrom is a late riser for me. When I had first seen him being mocked at us, I was like,
PA was big on him.
I'm ready to mock you that you mocked him to us.
He seems like another safe lineman, 18, boring, but
gotta be done kind of thing. Yep, yeah. Yep.
And then my 20th is Elgin Jenkins, center guard.
Good. I like that. You know, I've been a Jenkins fan, but I like to see him in your top 20. That's good stuff.
Yeah, so I think if we took one of those two, it's boring. It's we're going to be sitting there in Vegas at the West Gate watching the draft, excited, and we're going to take Elgin Jenkins, and it's going to be all right, we need the lineman.
And it's one of those things where, okay, I would have preferred him later, but if the Vikings took him at 18, it's because we see something we don't.
Yeah, and he's my last lineman that I wouldn't be a little disappointed that we took him at 20. I think if we took someone else, it's kind of okay, I really feel like we got him later. I don't think Jenkins is going to beat him in the second round. But you're not going to be walking through the casino going we got DK Metcalf. What are we going to do? This is going to be ridiculous. We're going to be we drafted a guard. We're not even going to talk about it. It's going to be cool, guard. I can't wait till tomorrow and find out if we get Emmanuel Hall or Hakeem Butler or someone.
Andy Isabella.
Yeah, or a tight end or a DN or something splashy. But I got Jenkins and Lindstrom closing up my top 20. Boring linemen.
Okay, and then so before the episode, I made my big board. I left the top three guys, the Kyler Murray, the Nick Bosa, and the Josh Allen.
Obvious three that are going
top five.
Top. Like, they're not going to be there. And there's some other guys that maybe won't be there, but those three will definitely not be there.
Yep.
And then I made him put it back on his board because you can't just remove players because you're an idiot.
Yeah, well, can you just be a little nice about it? But anyways,
don't do stupid shit.
Okay. All right. Anyways, my 18th originally, I had Paris Campbell.
Let's just call it your 21st.
My 21st, I had Paris Campbell.
Hate it, but okay.
I know you hate it.
Gadget guy in the first
round. He's not. I really don't see it. I know Ohio State used him as a gadget guy, but I think if you're running 4.3 speed, you're more than just a gadget guy, in my opinion.
Why? There's plenty of 4.3 guys that are gadgets. Can he catch a deep ball? Percy Harvin couldn't.
I guess I haven't seen him try to catch deep.
Yeah, that's the problem. Why hasn't he gone deep?
I don't know.
I
because they
him
didn't
in
use,
the second.
I didn't know. Because I don't know. It's just not their offense. They didn't throw deep.
I could just
they threw
easily,
underneath.
I could just easily see him busting, and it's just being like, we took a guy who was fast, and he wasn't actually that good at football. It just scares me. It just scares me.
Well, Paris I can use the same argument as Hollywood Brown. Yes, I know.
He
I
tore
know
up. What are you talking about? He tore up Oklahoma. He had over 1,000 yards.
Okay, but he's got Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray throwing him. Who
Haskins.
Pretty?
Haskins.
Not a good deep ball thrower.
Oh, what?
Not a good deep ball thrower.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Paris Campbell is going to break up the podcast. This is what it is.
No.
The
guy is a gadget player. I would not let Paris Campbell come between us. Wait, I guess that would explain why he wore number 21, huh?
Because he's a gadget player? Because
he's a running back, not a
and
wide
he's
receiver.
He's 21st on your board?
Yep. And then I had Chris Lindstrom. And then I had, so who would your 20?
Who, so wait, your receivers, you go DK Metcalf, Hollywood Brown, Paris Campbell. He's your third receiver on your board.
I really like N'Keal Harry, but I don't like him as a deep threat.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Paris Campbell is 8th receiver on mine.
Oof. Because you see him more as a gadget player where I see him as a receiver.
This is true. Because I see like even a guy like A.J. Brown is someone I would rather have.
See, I don't I like A.J. Brown.
And he is
I think he's a pure slot receiver. I don't think he can
I've
play
thought
outside.
That at first, but then I forgot who was talking about it. Metcalf was hurt for a couple games and he moved outside and he had like 180 yards in both games.
Oh, so he produced better at outside.
Yeah, but they had Metcalf and they had some other asshole that was taking DeMarcus Lodge. Like Andy Isabella versus Paris Campbell. They're both really fast. One showed he could go deep, albeit at a small school. Give me the guy that showed he could actually run deep routes.
I just feel like where if we were to take Paris Campbell, it's because Stefanski and Kubiak go, yeah, we can use him. He's fast. 90 catches. I mean,
yeah, because you're running 2 yard routes.
Okay, hey, fine, but let's keep moving.
Catches.
Let's move the football some more. Let's not go. I mean, how many? Okay, so
give me Emmanuel Hall who catches 20 yard passes, and get him in the third round, overtaking a guy in the first round.
Okay, at least you didn't say like second round because I do not like Emmanuel Hall.
Will take him in the second. I think you can get him in the third, and you can do the same thing with him as you could with Paris Campbell. And I don't even know if Paris Campbell can do it.
I just think Paris.
Give me Andy Isabella in the second over Paris Campbell in the first. I just don't like Paris Campbell in the first.
I just like Paris Campbell in general.
Okay, well I will bet you he's a bust. Let's go. Who's your next one?
Give me 2 shoots on that one. I'll take your bet. Then I went Chris Lindstrom, 22.
Okay, yeah, he was right around mine. So wait, I'll give you my 21st.
Yeah, I think.
Because I have my whole first round. I actually got like a whole big list. But Juan Thornhill, safety. Love this guy. This guy's my guy. No, Virginia.
Oh.
Just straight up Virginia, not Tech. Great combine. Everything I read about him, awesome. And fast. So like, let's talk safety because we haven't talked safety. Harrison Smith, obviously here for a while. Anthony Harris, 1 year deal. Maybe Harris doesn't stick around. Now you have a giant hole at safety. Juan Thornhill's fast. He can play that free safety role.
Question. Can I ask you what you like about Thornhill more than you like about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson? Because I prefer Chauncey Gardner-Johnson if you're going safety.
I just like watching them both. I just really like Thornhill. I don't know. I think he's underrated. I think Gardner can cover more like a corner too. Like
he played a lot of nickelback and safety.
So maybe he's a little more versatile.
He's a big hitter. He's really good at run support.
I've watched all the safeties because I just was recently watching him. I just want Thornhill. I don't know. There's something. And then his combine was awesome. So it was, you know, like what you see on tape. It seems like, okay, he's fast enough to be. Because I'm looking more for, I'm not really looking for a slot corner type. Yeah. We don't make Anthony Harris cover anyone in the slot very often. It's you stand back and you are the last line of defense. Be fast.
Yeah.
And I think that this guy could do it. And then my 22 is Darnell Savage, safety.
Yeah.
So that guy, also the names, quality names. Darnell Savage, come on, your name is Savage.
Savage, yeah.
Yeah. Maryland guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I really like both those guys. Both had great combines, both really fast. And I would take them over Paris Campbell.
Right on. Okay, keep throwing that in my face. Anyways.
Watch Paris Campbell be our first round pick. Oh. And dominate. So it could happen.
23, last person that I had written down. Dexter Lawrence is on there.
I was watching. I really want to move him up. If he can't rush the passer as much, like if he's just a Linval Joseph role, it's hard to take him. I have him as a first round grade. How is he not going to be good at his role? But is his role worth
a first round pick? Yeah, but he's super, so good that I can't leave him off my original top 20.
Yeah, he's like so safe. Like he's going to eat up two blockers. He's going to push the pocket. He's going to stop the run.
Yep.
I mean,
he's probably my favorite nose prospect coming out in a while.
In a while.
Like, I wasn't even I know Vita V went 11th.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big Vita V fan. Was I. I guess you could go all the way back to Star Latulule.
Yeah.
I thought was going to be really good.
I did
But
too.
He's probably my favorite nose prospect since Star Latulule.
Yeah.
Because he kind of fits, they're kind of the same kind of mold. Dexter Lawrence and Star Latulule, they were both very athletic nose tackles.
Yep. And I mean, that dude is strong as fuck. Like, you can't even move him. I was watching his highlight reel, and, like, it's like...
No wonder why Christian Wilkins got through so much with double team, without double teams. Yeah.
Stacked, but, like, so, yeah, hopefully that's not, like, helping Wilkins so much.
No, because but you've seen Wilkins handle the double team as well.
Yeah. So I have Lawrence 26th on mine. It comes down to just positional value. Like,
yeah.
Is that worth it? So my 23 was Rashawn Gary.
Okay, yeah.
Again, he's a. If the Vikings take him, I'm fully on board because that means the Vikings have a plan for him. But as a prospect, red flags.
Yeah.
So you only had 23.
Yeah.
I'll just say who was coming up after this was the corners. So I had Murphy and Greedy Williams.
Okay, in order you had Murphy over
Greedy Murphy Williams. Over Greedy Williams.
Why not DeAndre Baker?
I don't really
because
like him
DeAndre much. Baker hasn't allowed a touchdown since 2016.
Well, that's such a weird stat.
Hey, I
like what does that really mean to me?
Did he
leave a guy wide open and no one looked over there? Like that doesn't.
I don't know. I'm just.
Saying. I mean, it's
I'm
impressive. Just telling you what it's I heard. Impressive. Yeah, you know.
But
I from what I've read, he's more of a zone. But then Brian Murphy's also more of a zone. But Murphy.
Murphy's from Baylor, correct?
No, he's from, I think Washington.
Washington. I keep thinking he's from Baylor, but he's always from Washington. It's like I thought he switched schools, but like in all reality,
he's just been at Washington the whole time. but the reason I wanted to just bring those two up because corner. Again, it was another one of those. I was like, "There's no way we take a corner."
And there is a way we take a corner.
There is, and I really hope we don't in the first round. But like, there's some good corners on the board. It might happen, or even in the second. There's a lot like you said, DeAndre Baker. There's like. Four or five other guys that are actually pretty good. Hey, talented.
Armani.
Oriwe or whatever you call it. There's Rakia Sin. There's...
Rakia Sin is one of those guys who people really like.
Or they
or he's a mid-round guy.
Yeah, I actually had him in the third, but there's Julian Love, Justin Lane, yep. David Long. Isaiah Johnson, a bunch of Viking fans have been talking about because he's a pure like traits guy.
Is he Colorado?
He's Houston.
Houston.
And he's like pure... Not hasn't really produced, but his traits are ridiculous. He's long, he's fast.
Seems like a Zimmer guy.
Like, and a mid-round Zimmer guy. You know, like, just take a guy and do something with him. But as far as back to the Vikings and corner need, so next year, Waynes and Mack are free agents. Right there, you might need a corner. Like, yep. Immediately, that's all you need to know is that those two guys are free agents next year, because then you're down to Mike Hughes and Rhodes.
Yeah.
Holton Hill, yes. Can you just pencil him in as a 10-year starter, though, or a 5-year? No. Come on. He played well.
He was an undrafted rookie, and he played okay, but...
And even then, you need more than three corners. You need four. You need five. So, think we could take a corner. Again, this goes back to that. I think linebacker is the one spot that scares me. And so after the corners, 24, 25, Dexter Lawrence, 26, and then the linebackers, 27, 28. And that's all the people I have in the first round.
Oh.
So.
Besides quarterbacks.
I don't have any quarterbacks in the first round.
Oh, right on. Pause it.
Oh, we're going to pause because Ryan just stood up and wants me to pause it.
Yeah. And we're going to kind of continue with, we're just going to do a like little seven-round mock.
A seven-round Vikings mock. Figure, well, every podcast we do until the end of the draft, we'll throw one in there.
Yep.
It takes 5 minutes. We'll toss it in.
This mock draft is brought to you by Weedman Lawn Control.
Weedman
Lawn Visit them at weedmanusa.com or call them at 651-796-2346 and tell them Grapes and Gorax sent you.
And don't ask them to mow your lawn.
Do not ask him to mow your lawn.
All right, let's start the draft. So we are running. What do you want?
Ed Oliver there at 18.
Oh, this Ryan's looking at the TV. So.
And then you got Irv Smith in the first round still. Wow.
Jaylon, I feel like Irv Smith is definitely not a first rounder anymore.
You know, I see him as like a mid second
round. How do I
like if we him? Like if we took him at 50, I'm not complaining. That, yeah. But if we took him at 18, I'm going. I guess I'm not complaining either because they know how to use them.
I think I'm complaining. Well, the problem is we can't do that with every pick. Like, well, if the Vikings take him, I like it.
Well, sure we can. No. We're Vikings
if we
fans.
Take a tight, if we take Irv Smith in the first, I won't be happy.
If we took Irv Smith over Font or Hockenson or Christian Wilkins, I'll be
or
pissed.
Any other. Like, there's going to be a better player.
That's a good point.
Like, there's going to. Okay, won't let me scroll down on this.
Christian Wilkins fell all the way to 32 to the Patriots. If Christian Wilkins, if Belichick gets his hands on Christian Wilkins, I'm going to be very upset.
I see that a lot. That he falls that far.
I see them a lot going to the Chargers or the Colts or Eagles. Those are like the ass end of where he ends up. I've never seen him at the Patriots.
So, first round. Let's just try to talk about who's still on the board.
Yeah, let's just go with that.
I don't need to go through all the
just give me the top five guys.
So, guys that I think we should talk about. DK Metcalf, still there. Christian Wilkins. Jonah Williams. And then it's, you know, Bradbury and stuff like that. But I think those first three are higher.
And let's go off our Grapes and Gorak board. We both think Wilkins is a selection there.
Yeah. I think he's third on my board and
fourth on mine, yep.
So we have to take him.
Yep. We're taking Christian Wilkins.
Defensive tackle, three tech.
And that's over DK Metcalf, over Jonah Williams. Yep. Well, and I guess Sims will go
I think
these.
A lot of fans would be upset that we didn't draft Jonah Williams. I would prefer Christian Wilkins, but I understand there's going to be a big segment that's going to be like, you bastard on a lineman.
And you know, that one's tough for me. I went back and forth on Wilkins and Williams, which one I prefer. And I think I go Wilkins over Williams just because we've signed three guards the last week and a half. You know, we've signed a couple linemen where it's, you know, Kubiak probably feels comfortable with their athleticism. Mm-hmm. And they've got really good pass block grades.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about that yet. A lot of people are like, oh, their run block grades aren't the best. But in the zone scheme, you know, you don't have to be the best run blocker. It's almost like you just got to get across the face of them.
Well, and also like those, you know, those kind of those run blocking grades, what scheme were they in? Was it a different scheme where it really knows how good they'd be in a zone? They could be a lot better. So second round. Let's just go to, okay, it's not showing me all. Here we go. We have Debo Samuel, Taylor Rapp, Irv Smith, Darnell Savage, Emmanuel Hall. What position are you kind of looking at here?
Well, we took
a
lineman
would be something.
Yeah, a lineman would be kind of one up there.
The best tackle available is Caleb McCrary. Then it's David Edwards. It's kind of...
I mean, Caleb McCrary is up there. I don't like David Edwards this early.
And McCrary, that's a fine second-round pick. I'd be happy with it, but let's see if there's someone else better. It's kind of more of an expected pick, not, hey, wow, this can't believe this guy fall.
Yeah.
Interior line, we've got Elgin Jenkins. So right there, that's a guy in my top 20.
Yeah.
I would be very interested in him.
How about three tech?
We already took one. You want
to Sorry. I'm just going through.
On the edge, it's guys that I don't think we're interested in.
So right now I'm seeing, I'm thinking, okay, so let's talk about Debo Samuel a little bit. But it's Debo Samuel, Irv Smith, and Elgin Jenkins. I'd probably put Jenkins top.
Yep.
Probably go Jenkins, Irv Smith, Debo Samuel.
Yeah, and there's other receivers still available, so I feel like we could probably wait on that. Like Andy Isabella is still there. Emmanuel Hall is still there. I know you don't like him, but he's...
No, I just don't like him very high.
Yeah, so...
I think third round. I think third round is like good, a good for spot Emmanuel for him
because he's a one trick pony. You know, like, he's not gonna be your number one receiver. So, tight end Irv Smith. Yeah, we talked about him. Chase Sternberger, and then what was the other spot I was gonna look? I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I think it's
any corner. Wait, didn't you say Darnell Savage was still there?
That's the.
Did you want to talk about between him
there still too and Taylor Rapp?
Let's go between your two safeties and Elshon Jenkins real quick. Do you have an order of preference?
I would take the lineman.
Okay,
for the reason that it's a more immediate need. I think he's just as good as a talent. And say you did then re-sign Anthony Harris, you have no need for a safety. So Elshon Jenkins would be a starter today and a starter 4 years from now for sure. And I don't see a huge talent difference. So I think Jenkins is
the Yep, thing. Jenkins is definitely the way to go. If you had kind of started talking about safety, I would have brought up Irv Smith and going like, well, you know,
yeah,
boom, more immediate need and maybe even more long-term mm-hmm. as well. But yeah, I think Elshon Jenkins is definitely the way to go.
And I feel like it's kind of not a lot of linemen have fallen, you know, because the best tackle Connor is Caleb McCrary. And besides Jenkins.
And how about between McCrary and Jenkins? I know you have Jenkins ranked, yep, you know, in your top 20 on your big board.
Again,
but McCrary is also versatile, right? He can play guard and tackle as well.
I think Jenkins is more of a sure thing. I like him better.
I do too.
Overall, he was
20th on my board. And McCrary's not a bad second round pick. If we were to end up with Christian Wilkins and Caleb McCrary, and we took McCrary over Jenkins, you're still not hearing any complaints.
Yeah, no complaints. I would be more excited if it was Wilkins Jenkins, but it's not like we're taking someone that's way out of left field. So we'll take Jenkins for the Grapes and Gorak one here.
Yep.
And we'll run that through. So we've got three tech and a guard center.
Yep.
Probably a guard in our system. Both, you know,
both
good. In the trenches.
Yep. I think Jenkins for sure makes my like top 40 board. He might even crack like my top 32 like first
round. Yeah. I think he's a late first, early second type player.
Getting him at 50 is a steal in my opinion. So. I don't think there's any way he lasts that long.
Okay, so
So now we've knocked two needs off. We took our three tech. We took an offensive lineman.
So now it's almost, you're getting to the, those are like the two more, and those are like the 2019 needs more, like even. Like now you're into the receiver, tight end, safety, corner, DN.
Edge.
Maybe another lineman, edge. So here is what's available. So right away, my eyes go to Juan Thornhill's still available.
Okay.
He's the 56th player on their board. It's pick 81.
And he's
eight, like 18th on
my board. Or like 22 or
so. Oh, yeah. He was right outside the top 20. Yep. So, yeah, it was like 22.
But, yeah, and I'm not opposed to taking a safety either, just based on the fact that Harrison Smith is 31.
Yep.
And he's got 2 years left on his deal.
Mm-hmm.
And which means there's probably not a lot, if any, guaranteed money
left. It's probably all gone. I'm sure it's all gone. Not that any time he's going to leave, but like, if his play starts to suffer,
or if he gets 3 years from now, you know, he gets a gruesome injury.
And maybe you draft Juan Thornhill, and he's clearly really good, and you just let Anthony Harris leave, collect the comp pick. You got his replacement for a lot cheaper than Anthony Harris. Yeah. I do feel like our defense, that's the easiest position to play in our defense. I think that's why guys like Anderson Dejo could play it, Anthony Harris could play it. It's. I don't think it's a, as far as Zimmer's D, I think it's the easiest spot.
It's a strong side linebacker. Doesn't Barr play weak? Or one of the linebacker positions and one safety position are like the two easiest roles to fill in.
Yeah. As far as like, I don't know if it's strong or free or whatever it's considered, I would consider it more of a, like, as far as
the deep safety.
I would consider it more as a free safety. Maybe that's not technically in Zimmer's D what it's called, because I see Harrison Smith more as the strong that comes up in the box. He's back, he's up, he's moving around. Where Harris is just deep cover. Sometimes we'll come up, but yeah, like it's a lot less versatile. It's more just go sideline to sideline and make sure we don't get beat.
Yeah, and I think so.
But he's a playmaker. Like Harris does make plays. Like he makes interceptions. He strips the ball. So I'm not saying we have to take a safety, but I think one fell in the third here.
I was gonna say I don't love the safety pick right here, but I think the value at this point.
And it's the third round
because I do like Juan Thornhill. That's who's on the board, right?
Yeah, and Savage just went two picks before. Okay, so
yeah, and I mean between those two, like they're good players. I do like them, so I'm not opposed to taking the safety.
There's other. We haven't even gotten anything else yet. So let's Isaiah Johnson corner. I like him, but again, he's more of a project. Linebackers. I was gonna check to see if Cashman was available, but I don't see him in here. It's like Voshan Joseph and stuff. I don't want to spend a third on that.
I'd rather
Jacque Polite still available.
Oh, but is he really
terrible fit for us? DT we don't need. Tackle Titus Howard. A lot of people big on him. I know PA's.
PA's huge on him. I don't know if I really want to go back to back offensive linemen with premium picks though.
I don't either. I think as far as you got your guard, I don't think we need to be reaching for need.
Would you consider the first three rounds premium picks?
Yeah, I would say the first three. I expect my third rounder to contribute.
Yep. And that's
once you get to the fourth, it's like just take best traits, best project, yep. This guy who fell for off-field reasons, and just hope he turns into something because it's lottery tickets at that point.
Yeah.
Receiver, we haven't taken, right?
Nope, we haven't taken.
Terry McLaurin, J.C.R. Sigel Whiteside, Riley Ridley, Mecole Hardman, Miles Boykin, who I really like. He's speed, weight, height guy.
I really like our Sigel Whiteside.
That wouldn't be bad. He had a great pro day.
I started liking him back in, I think it was like November, towards the end of the season. I forget. This sucks. Somebody comped him to someone, and I really enjoyed it.
Wow, great take, Ryan.
But no, after like seeing his pro day and everything,
that was
you know,
big,
running
pro day.
Running, you know, between the 4.4s and 4.5s. I mean, 6'2". Sounds like he's got really good hands, really good in traffic and
I'm
stuff
not
like
sure
that.
If he's like the right fit for the Vikings, but he's a good player.
Yeah.
So it's he's not the speed guy we're looking for, but maybe you can.
But he's
still
a deep. But I feel like at 4.48 or whatever he ran, still a deep ball threat.
Still
is
could,
he not?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's like.
See, where's the
so
cutoff
Thielen
for like
and Diggs are also can go deep too, but like.
But I for guess somebody, he's a deep threat. He's not a burner.
Yeah, that would be the thing. Yeah, he can go deep, but he's not like Deshaun or like what we hope, you know, like a Hollywood Brown could be or a Tyreek Hill where you need to keep two guys on him at all times.
Yeah.
Like someone could probably cover J.C. or Sigel Whiteside one-on-one and he'll make some plays.
And it's probably and like even you can stick your third corner on him and I mean.
And you're thinking, okay, maybe he can get
and it's like, where's my 6 foot guy that runs a 4.52? Just stick him on there
and see what happens.
Yeah.
So looking at this, I think it's between our Sigel Whiteside, Titus Howard, and Juan Thornhill, I would say.
Yep. And I think at that point, I think I'm going Thornhill.
I think I'm going Thornhill too. I know safety's not the biggest need, but I think the chances of him panning out are better than the other two. And you take the best player.
Yep.
So let's take him in the third round. So far we have Christian Wilkins, Elgin Jenkins, Juan Thornhill. It's looking good.
Yeah, I'm liking it so far. The Thornhill thing, I mean, it even goes back. I know we always talk about rotating DNs, but rotating D-backs isn't the worst thing either because
they get tired.
I was just going to say, you know, they get gassed. I mean, and Thornhill is a guy who, from what I've seen, can sub both Harris and Harrison Smith
that's,
needed.
That's also the thing. He can be way more dynamic than Anthony Harris could be. Anthony Harris can play that zone, deep zone role, sideline to sideline, fine. But I think Thornhill could be a Harrison Smith replacement down the line.
Yep.
Not next year. Maybe he's just Harris's replacement for the next couple years until Harrison Smith moves on.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, we've got our top safety still. Now we just need to go find another.
And now you just got to find that guy who plays the Harris role.
Yeah, so... Yeah, you're taking a guy who's talented, and that's what you.
Yeah, exactly. And again, there's no such thing as an abundance of talent.
Exactly.
And no matter what the position, you can have three talented running backs, and you know you get them all on the field however you can. You can have three talented DNs, and you find a way to get them on the field.
And who's to say we couldn't get all three of these safeties on the field? You know,
there's such thing as a big nickel package. Yeah. Like Harrison
J. Ron Kearse played a lot.
Harrison Smith played outside corner.
Yeah,
like in some, I think it was against the Bears, and I think technically he was going up against Burton, but he's outside, so technically he's playing cornerback.
Yeah, I mean you're one on one with the tight end on the outside. So let's jump now to the fourth round. So. Take a peek at running back.
No. Can you give me a peek at the quarterbacks available right
now? Okay, you want to look at the quarterbacks?
Yeah.
They're terrible.
Oh, no Tyree Jackson available?
Tyree Jackson looks like he's gone. Looks like the best one I would say is Ryan Finley probably.
How do you feel about Tyree Jackson in like the fourth round?
I don't know enough about him.
No.
Is he a runner?
No, he's more of a pocket guy.
Okay.
He's like 6'6", 250.
I'm not super big on any quarterback in the mid rounds. I would prefer like a 6'7". I just don't think any of them really... With fourth-round quarterback, I just think Kirk Cousins.
I just think that Tyree Gibson, I mean, he's got traits that can become like a startable quarterback. You know, he's got the pop throw. He's got the arm strength. I think he misses a lot of throws, and I feel like that's kind of a thing where you can't teach accuracy.
No, yeah, that's...
But at the same time, people are taking Josh Allen, number 7 overall. So...
Yeah. So maybe some people think you can teach accuracy.
Yeah.
I just think in the fourth round right now, I bet we find a guy that I like, and I don't really want to take a backup quarterback prospect. So,
okay.
Especially when there's not really a good one on the board. Like,
like you said, Ryan Finley's your favorite, and I really... I'm a huge fan.
I'm not. He's the one.
On the other hand, is a fan of Ryan.
Big
Finley.
Fan. He's the one I recognize the name the most. Like,
how about Easton Stick? Is the next Carson Wentz still there?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's go running backs. Damien Harris, Devin Singletary, Rodney Anderson. No one that I'm super excited about has fallen.
I'm a fan of Devin Singletary. I think it's more or less because I've seen a lot of comps to LeSean McCoy.
Okay.
So I think that's what really gets me excited.
The comps are a slippery slope, Ryan.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's
real shifty. Small and he ran slow.
I know. That's the thing, though. I mean, didn't he run 4.67?
Yeah. It was.
But like,
I still like him, but not in the fourth. Yeah. I think it's a little early. If he'd have ran good, he would have been more of a third round fourth guy.
Yeah. I saw earlier Rennie's boy, Bryce Love, on Twitter. Somebody's like, oh, you know, I'm alone. I seem to be alone on this, but I think Bryce Love is like a really good player for like the point he's going at.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, Bryce Love at this point might be the best value in the draft because he won the Heisman 2 years ago. And you see, he's not like a breakout runner. He's a tough runner.
Yeah.
So like, you know, he moves the pile a lot. So maybe even at 5'9", 5'10", or whatever he is, he's a big, strong back. And I don't know if he's like the perfect complement to Delvin Cook.
But a late round guy that I would be totally happy with. But let's try to... This is taking way too long here. Receivers. Who do you like as a mid to late round guy?
Well, Emmanuel Hall.
He's not available. Antoine Wesley. Stanley Morgan Jr. I don't like... I think at this point we've waited too long on receiver, and I don't really like many of them. Tight end Josh Oliver's available. I still like him.
Okay, and later on receivers, David Sills the fifth. Because he got a lot of deep balls from
David
Will Greer.
Sills. Yeah, and he's 136 on their board. There's still like 6-7 guys ahead of him, so I think we can wait on
him. He's more of like a guy I'm targeting in like the fifth round.
Okay.
But I know we don't have a fifth round pick, but I'm thinking, you know, we maneuver.
Yeah, that's the thing with Spielman. He's going to go up and down the board.
Give me your top three guys.
I'm looking. I like Justin Hollins, this edge from Oregon. I feel like we're going to end up taking a lot. We don't really need a three tech anymore.
Any nose tech? Can any guys who you feel at nose?
Daylon Mack. I think, like, so lineman-wise, there's still Chuma Egbo. It was a USC.
Yep.
And then Bobby Evans.
I like Bobby
Evans. We always kind of seem to take him. I would say what I like the most is one of those tackles, Josh Oliver, or the edge guy from Oregon. I like him. Sutton Smith, I like
too. Let's go Josh Oliver right here.
The tight end Josh Oliver? Yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot. I like Josh Oliver. He's 106 on the TDN board.
The draft network for those
And
who
we
don't
just
know.
Got him at 120. So value. If this was Madden, it would have popped up.
Oh, value pick. Boom. Number one overall talent.
This is where you have to wait a while for the Vikings because there's no fifth round pick, so it goes all the way through. But then we get hit with four right in a row. 2 6, 2 7s, right?
Yep.
This is where it gets.
And this is at the point where usually I'm kind of looking at Max Sharping.
Oh, yeah, because he's always available.
Yep.
That's another one that's like, I think he's going like second, third round, and Draft Network thinks he's going in like the sixth.
Yep, see, so he's usually a guy that I try to take at my fourth round spot.
Because
I know I think he's going to go higher than Draft Network usually has him.
So right now we got to our pick, and he is their top tackle on the board. We're at pick 190, so probably end up taking him because I certainly could use another lineman. But let's peek at some other stuff. TTs, I don't know much about these ones. Isaiah Bugs, isn't he a nose?
Yeah.
Corner. We haven't taken a corner yet, but... Again, we're so late that I don't know a ton about these guys.
Yeah. Why don't we just take Sharping?
Take Sharpien, yeah.
Take Sharpien because he's there. We know that. And we'll decide on the next six-round pick where it's like, oh, I'm not sure.
David Sills, your boy's still there. So maybe we can get him with our next six. I like Gary Jennings, too. He, oh, there goes your boy.
Sills went,
yeah. Gary Jennings, but he's small. Kind of. The thing is, kind of like Chad Beebe, so like drafting another pure slot guy is a little bit.
Yep. Like, I think it's at, like this late, it's either I want a pure burner or like a big guy, like an Alshon Jeffrey type. Or
yeah, something different, you know, something that we don't have. Yep. You know, a big body guy that, yeah, exactly. And or a burner, not a pure slot guy. Because yep. our good receivers can play in the slot, too. Looking at running backs, Bryce Love, Divine Azigbo from Nebraska. I really like him. He visited the Vikings.
But he didn't run the fastest in the 40, did he?
I don't know if he did run the 40. He was not invited to the combine.
I thought at his pro day he wasn't. I thought he ran like a 4.68. I thought. I could be completely wrong in just making this up, but.
Could be right. I was going to try to pull it up.
But maybe Nebraska hasn't even had a pro day yet. Maybe
4.54.
So see, like I said, maybe I'm just making stuff up.
Maybe Nebraska hasn't had a pro day yet. Sounds like he's a good zone fit, is what I've been hearing. Which is probably why they brought him for an invite.
You know what? Let's take him.
Should we pull the trigger on him since we've got picks to burn here? You know?
Yeah, you know, you got Kubiak who turned like Olandis Gary into a 1,000-yard runner. Why can't he turn Divine Azigbo?
Running back, another thing. We didn't talk about like needing a running back, but we...
But also, we're higher on Boone than most.
Which is fine, but you could still throw another guy in there. And Delvin Cook has been hurt his first two seasons. So
you kind of
need a little something more. Yeah.
I think Azigbo, him running a 4.54, I think him and... Like, Boone's fast, but he's also a tough runner.
Yeah, I don't know how fast Boone is. He's probably 4.5-ish. Like, I don't think he's a burner, but he's tough. Yeah, that's like...
I think Azigbo is probably the same way because Nebraska did a lot of the, I don't know. I feel like they did a lot of that wishbone shit. Because they also had Rick Spielman's kid, but he played wide receiver.
Yeah, he was receiver, right? Yeah. So we're in the seventh. Two more picks. God, our sevenths are late.
Yeah. They're two within four. Yeah. It's us, Sanders between Cardinals. Two Cardinals picks.
Yep. The Cardinals have three picks the last like eight here. So I would say what we've missed on is we have not grabbed a corner and we've not grabbed a receiver.
How about a special teams linebacker though? I always like to grab a linebacker late.
I don't like grabbing a special teamer though. What are you talking about?
I'm a huge fan of the special teams. You gotta win all three phases of the game.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna draft guys that can play as like at a ceiling to actually get on the field.
Terrell Hanks.
Terrell Hanks. He's got a chance.
I feel like he's a good special teamer.
He's someone you can get super late, right? He's right. He's on your stuff.
I like him earlier though. Like even I say the him thing at seven is, though, I know he can't. But like if we take him in the fifth.
Yeah, no, he's totally fine in the fifth. I think though, like a lot of these guys will go. Like we think, oh, Terrell Hanks will go in the fifth. He could easily go to the seventh. We don't know. Like once you're in that area, you could go either way.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Like between five and seven, it's okay. And like if I'm a player and I make it to the fifth round, it's like
I could go undrafted.
Yeah, it's I might not be drafted anymore. It's like you know, I sound like myself as high as the second, but nobody's taking me as a fifth. I might not get drafted.
Yeah,
I feel like. Third day of the draft is probably the most stressful for like anybody.
Oh, for sure. It's your dream to get drafted. If that's the thing, it's the dream to get drafted. You get to pick your team. Sometimes you know they give you a nice little.
I mean, didn't we give Holden Hill like the quote unquote highest signing bonus you can?
Mm-hmm. So I think we take Hanks with our next pick because I think he'll be there, and then I think we grab one of these corners. There's Xavier Crawford. I know is someone I thought would be taken by now. Savion Smith.
I don't know any corners this late.
Both those guys. Crawford, I think, went in the third round of Pro Football Focus's mock.
Okay.
Savion Smith's Alabama guy. I'm pretty sure.
Ooh, I like Bama guys. I like Saban guys. Okay. Really do.
I'm going to look at receivers. That Gary Jennings is still there, but I don't know.
Because Saban took Culpepper over Breeze because he knew what was up.
Should we take Savion Smith and then grab Terrell Hanks and close this down here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's grab the corner. So I see the one big thing we weren't able to acquire was the receiver.
How about a kicker?
Kicker will get undrafted. Okay. You know, we'll add some competition that way. But let's grab Terrell Hanks.
Bucky Brooks has Rocky Sin as his third ranked cornerback.
Wow.
I like that Trayvon Mullins. Big, lengthy. If we take him in like the third, fourth,
I'm big a fan. Press corner. We'll take him, you know. So recapping our draft, we got Christian Wilkins in the first. Elgton Jenkins.
Wrap it up. Let's go home. Trade all the other picks.
Yeah. Well, I'm already ecstatic with him. Elgton Jenkins in the second. Oh, great. Juan Thornhill in the third. Safety. Josh Oliver, tight end, in the fourth. And then to the sixth round, Max Sharpien. I think we both agree he probably won't be there.
Yeah.
But draft network.
He's a guy I feel like Sharpien's a guy, a second-round guy.
That's what I think, too. Northern Illinois, maybe that's why. Yeah. Like, small school, they don't really buy it. So our other six, we took the running back out of Nebraska, Divine Azigbo. And then in the seventh, Savion Smith out of Alabama, cornerback. And then linebacker Trell Hanks, New Mexico State.
Talking about small school guys real quick. I have a problem with small school guys unless they completely dominate.
They need to dominate.
And Max Sharpien dominated all of his competition.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like what's like the Andy Isabella thing. It's like he dominated. And
UMass.
Then, yeah, like you need to dominate.
No, if you're not dominating, Colin, like Kingsley. No, not Kingsley Kiki.
Well, there's Colin Saunders.
Yep.
The interior D lineman. He looked like a man amongst boys, which is what you need to do.
Yep, that's exactly.
So if you do like it's like
okay, you look like you're good, but if you did this against Power 5 teams, yeah, but you did this against, you know, your town. You're supposed to, like, run over guys. Where Sharpien, I think, had, like, from what I've seen, it was just, like, a shit ton of pancakes. He just, like, fell over guys.
Well, because, like, even at, a big college school, most of the people you're playing against will not be anything in football after college. Now you go to a smaller school, you're literally playing against, like, accountants.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah. And that's why Christian Wilkins against Alabama is always my go-to tape for him, because he may not have been in on every play, but he quote unquote made a play,
You know, disrupting like, so much. And that was the biggest
competition,
biggest game of his career. And he showed up. Another reason to like him.
Yep.
Christian Wilkins, overall.
Number one overall. Let's do it.
Number one overall. You're trading up for him.
Always.
A-plus draft. We nailed it. All right.
Yep,
so,
good deal. Christian Wilkins at 18, I think. Is that your favorite of guys who are going,
exactly, going to be of, there? Of a somewhat realistic thing, my favorite pick. And I think my second would be an offensive tackle. Ed Oliver. But I actually don't think Ed Oliver will be there. I think Wilkins has a better shot of being there than Ed Oliver.
Yes.
Which is why Wilkins is our favorite pick, because we're super high on him and he might be there.
And we've got hammers on the roll.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, like,
big fan?
We did that mock draft this morning. I handed him the phone for Vikings. He's like, well, Christian Wilkins.
Yeah,
it's like, Wilkins. He's just riding the train.
Only thing I don't like... He watched
that Bama tape, too, with me. He's like, dude, this guy's good.
Part of me kind of just wants to go all offense, though. Because, like, does Zimmer really need another, a great three tech to have a good defense? Like, part of me wants to go, like, offensive lineman, receiver, offensive lineman, tight end, you know, you could literally go
anything, T.J. Hockenson. Any offensive player, not quarterback, running back.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right.
I think that,
any sort of combo of the three.
Yeah. Like, could you imagine, say, we took Marquise Brown at 18, then we got Elgton Jenkins. And then we got
Sternberger
in the third. How is that offense not drastically better? And your defense is still good. So part of me...
And at the same time, people are like, oh, well, we need a three tech. Yes. But who's to say Jalen Holmes can't be Tom Johnson of 2 years ago? And be...
Yeah, just be good.
Be just disruptive enough.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's kind of like... part of me wants to just give Kirk Cousins a bunch of weapons so that we can just... be good on offense.
And you know what? You can't win games unless you score more points than
it's really the way the kind of league is. Like, score points. Let's bomb. That's why I want a burner. I want a burner, man. I don't know. But Christian
Hollywood
Wilkins,
Brown.
Hollywood Brown would be super fun at 18.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be possibly the most exciting pick. I mean, you give me any DK Metcalf too, I'd be like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, any skill
Noah
position
Font,
player.
Like, I actually think Font would be more exciting than Hockenson. I like Hockenson more, but like,
I think Font
4 or 5 speed, put him out wide, let's go, you know? So... it's a little bit different between like who are you most excited for and who do I think is like the best for the team, because obviously give me Andre Dillard or Jonah Williams over, you know, some tight end or something,
yeah,
but damn, that would be fun.
Yep. I the Jets gonna be exciting.
Yeah. We'll all right. For it. So we will probably gonna take another week off and then pick it back up with our final mock draft.
Our first mock draft and final full first round.
Yeah, mock. First round. We're not Vikings
of
only.
Having the draft guru, Travis Rennie, back on.
Do a full 32-team first round mock.
Yep, and we'll both do the number one pick, and both or all three do the number one, and all three do the Vikings. That way, we all three of us can have 10 picks each.
Okay, is that how we do it? Okay.
That's what I thought would work. Because I feel like for the most part, we'll be able to get majority consensus on those two picks.
Yeah. Well, and I think we all should talk about the Viking pick. Because that makes sense. It's like, we gotta come together here. What's left? What's available? Yeah. And then we'll be at the draft.
At Vegas.
In Vegas. We'll probably do a podcast like the day after or something.
Yeah, we might just drop little snippets. It might be just short things like, okay, day one, you know, we're all hammered back at the room. Going, let's talk about DK Metcalf real quick.
The first pick. Yeah, and plus, we have Wednesday. I feel like we're going to have a lot of time. Maybe we could do like one final short podcast. What we're hearing, because that's going to be, we're going to be out there on Wednesday, and there's not.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, Thursday. I mean.
Or Thursday day, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
So that's a 2-hour episode
And that episode was brought to you by Weedman Lawn Care Services, 651-796-2346. Tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you, or at weedmanusa.com. Do not call them to mow your lawn.
Yeah, they have a little fertilizer, aeration, you know, pest control.
Kid and pet friendly. I cannot emphasize enough on how safe this is for your pets and your kids.
Yeah, local Minnesota, I think. I mean, I think they're a Minnesota.
They are a local Minnesota product, and they seem to do a lot of work with the bigger lawn care companies. A lot of lawn care companies use their weed control on your lawn. So check them out and tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, guys.